towards the Pesach, but if not, we'll probably end up being Od Chazonim awaiting that. Okay, so in terms of Zorek, let's have somebody just read Zorek Kaveris for just a minute. I just wanted to go through a couple of, just to highlight a couple of more of the issues, even in the basic issue between Rashi and Tosis and some of the Rishonim there, and then speak about Skupa, and then you know go back to Pasi Biro. I think that's what we said we were going to do. So, Rabbi, you want to just very quickly? Rabbi is Zark Chaberis, right? What's that? I don't have a. Okay. Well, you did see him, right? So, you know by heart.
Oh yeah.
Okay, I'll read. So Zorek Kaber, till you get there. Zorek Kaber, so Shusarabim, Gavo Yud Ben Rechav Avav, Chayiv Rechav Avav, Pater. So then the Gemara says, Rav Amar Fil Ein Rechav Avav, Pater. Maitam Yavshe Lekrum Yashokana Sholiyala Lemala Miasar. Right? Go ahead. And then Kfa Al Pia. Yash
Shiva Umashu, Chayiv, Shiva Umetza, Pater. Vashem Rafil Shiva Umetza, Chayiv, Maitam Amakitis, Sopanasu.
So just again, this is there's a lot of issues here, most of which we've talked about. I just wanted to add a couple of quick points, just lahashlim et ha'inyan, but there's much more to talk about. So just first, as we noted, there's a basic machlokas or rishonim, whether the on the first part of the sugya, whether it's zrikas kaveres is about what or what, Robbie? Throwing rishuyos?
Throwing rishuyos, or whether it's even landing into rishus yachid.
Or the question of landing rishus yachid. I want to speak just a little bit about each one of those. We've hinted at things, but just a little bit more. Okay, so with regard to Rashi's shita, Rashi's chiddush, about zrikas rishuyos, so you could see it here. Get this out of the way. Only in terms of maybe, That's good, it's fine. You could see it only in terms of the Mishkan, and that's certainly a factor. What do they throw around in the Mishkan? And again, that depends how Mishkan oriented you are. Just recently, we had another great example of that whole discussion. The list keeps growing, and so on. But I think more the point is that the question is that. The whole idea of the Malacha Potzah and Mishkan aside, this is just something, as we've noted, even the Mishkan things can't be completely arbitrary. They have to point to drawing the line at a certain point. But this in particular is the idea that Potzah is about moving an object. And we talked earlier in the year about the relationship between Chunin and Hotzah, and how closely connected they are, the Al Yetzi and the Al Yotzi. And we talked about the possibility of their being connected in two opposite kind of ways. And I don't know whether there's a steer between them either, even though they're two different tendencies. In other words, the Al Yetzi is an Al Yotzi, or the Al Yotzi is an Al Yetzi. In other words, looking at Chunin as moving himself, or looking at carrying as walking, but walking, in such a way where you're accomplishing something by means of the object that you're, moving, and that kind of gives extra stature and therefore a chalos malacha, right, to that kind of movement. So, instead of just seeing tchumen as personal movement and hotzah as relating to the movement of a cheftza, or being responsible for the movement of a cheftza, I said that. The overlap can be in either direction. I think this idea of there being a difference between Kalim, let's say, and Rishuyos, and that typically we don't talk about moving Rishuyos, but Rishus is where you move something to. But the idea that Hotzah is very Cheftza, let's say, oriented, I think works in well with this idea that there's no such thing as Hotzah. In addition to the, again, it could come from the Mishkan, it could be a line that you draw based on the Mishkan, but I think that would be, that might be the idea here. Even if you take the view of about your own movement, significant personal movement, again, so when you, when you move around a kli in that way, it's one thing, and displacing or reforming Rishuyos is just doesn't have that kind. It's a different kind of a notion. So along with that law, with that idea, that it isn't just a, you know, kind of exerts a kosov, then that there's, you know, something to Caleb and so on, or objects, mechefzes and so on. I think that that might be helpful to explain what bothered some of the Rishonim. So Al Atar is a famous question that's raised against Rashi. Namely, anybody? Anybody pick up on it? The Tosishanim, just here on the side, says V'lo Nehira, the Ashkachan Mia Shayu Motziin Rishuyos Kagon Aron Umizbachos. Right? That's a really strong question on the surface, because we know that the dimensions of the Aron and the Mizbeach were the dimensions of Rishus HaYachid, right? And we also know that the Gemara itself considers, the moving of the Kalim, you know, of the Mishkan, to be significant in terms of Shabbos, right? The whole Sugya of Masa, you know, B'nei Kahas, Ansadi Beis Amar Aleph, right, is connected to that whole issue and idea. So the question of Tosis Shishanim, which is, how are you going to say that the moving something that has the dimensions of Roshus is not considered to be an act of Hotzah? Like, where does that, how does that fit in with all of this? So that is the, that's the question. So the Tosis Rid, in his Psakim, deals with this question and distinguishes between Zrika and Hotzah, and Mavir, in other words. If you throw something, we're talking about throwing things, right? But we find in the Mishkan, they weren't throwing the Aron, Chas Shalom, and not the Mizbeach either, or the Shulchan, right? They were carrying it from, you know, thing to thing. So that is very fascinating also. The question is, is that the right answer, and what to do with it? So just a comment or two about that. This idea that we would be Mechalik between Zorek and Mavir, I think can be looked at in one of two ways, right? One way is to look at it in terms of, a more subtle way, like, you know, in this question, which I'm going to get back to, of, you know, how you look at that's what's happening here, you know, moving things, throwing things, you know, is it about the, do you look at it in terms of the, you know, the hefts and so on? There might be difference between throwing things and moving things. Hopefully we'll get back to that. But in addition to that, there are other, I mean, on the surface, we have other past precedents, you know, of being mechalek between Zorek and Mavir. Question is, are they relevant here? So, of course, for example, the question of whether, Makish, Zorek, you know, Lemoshit, you know, in the Mala Me'asara, you know, comes to mind. The question of, you know, Dalet Amos, is there any difference? Could there have been any difference between Mavir Dalet Amos Brishus HaRabim and Zorek Dalet Amos Brishus HaRabim, you know, comes to mind. In our little travels, you know, the question of Brishus HaYachid, Brishus HaYachid, Derech Brishus HaRabim, you know, particularly, you know, with Dalet Amos Brishus HaRabim, you know, as part of the, you know, intervening activity, is there any difference between, you know, Zorek and Mavir? Meaning there are a number of issues where the possibility of the distinguishing between Mavir and Zorek comes up. Now again, in some cases, it's very technical or tzura oriented and maybe irrelevant to this particular case. For example, when we're talking about the possibility of distinguishing between Mavir and Zorek with regard to Dalet Amos, I think it was the Chassam Sofer Zahara or somebody, so some of the guys in the Shirad brought it up, right? You know, we're talking about, you know, the the football rules. You know, everybody's, you know, in soccer craze right now, but, you know, those of us who are, I guess, patriotic Americans, you know, should remember, some of the, you know, well, really more baseball, but we're talking about, the idea of whether the, you know, the Dalet Amos, you know, moves with you or not, or it's, you know, it's all defined by that first moment. And we were using the mashal of the you know, football downs, that's an important question. That's an important issue. So one of the things that we noted, some of the Achronim said, and some of you guys had suggested as well, that in the Shakla Dataria, in the beginning of Azorek, you know, the Rajba, the question how you read the Gemara, like what's going on? Is there a possible difference between Mavir and Zorek? Is it a bigger chiddush to say Zorek than Mavir, or less of a Chiddush, and how does that work? So one of the things we were saying was, because when you, part of the problem is, when you walk Dalet Amos, you might think that you don't go by the first down, you know, till the fourth, and you have to, you know, get that far. Every time you take another step, right, your Dalet Amos, you know, walks with you. It's easier to say about being Zorek, let's say, Dalet Amos, right, that there's a defined, you know, beginning and end. It isn't just, you know, moving along, you know, with you. I don't mean only according to Ben Azai, right? I mean, even in terms of defining Dalet Amos as a makom. But the Ben Azai problem is in terms of Akira Vanach, it makes it worse. But that's really part of the question. So there, distinguishing between Zorek and Mavir, or for example, in, you know, in the Sugya and Ksuva, Staf Lam and Aleph, where we're talking about the Gemara itself is considering distinguishing between Zorek and Mavir, in terms of, you know, Akira Tzorach Hanacha, and so on. You know, there we understand that the physical differences between Zorek and Mavir, again, we talked about, you know, Hanacha Mikoach Akira, and there being differences between Zorek, you know, and Mavir, because it's just the nature of Zorek, you know, that it's very, you know, in a way, front-loaded. Where you throw it, you know, is where it's, all things being equal, unless it encounters external forces, you know, is where it's going to end up. Or there's Meirosh, you know, a kind of an understanding of what's supposed to happen, you know, here. Whereas in Mavir, you know, very much depends on and when you, where you decide to stop, and then it's an ongoing process and so on. So looking at Zorek as different than Mavir when it comes to Kamli Bedraba Minei or Akira Tzorach Hanacha or even Dalet Amos, all of that is one thing. Similarly, with regard to, again, the question of Rishus HaYachid and Dalet Amos of Rishus HaRab and Be'emtza, you know, whether we're talking about if we're, you know, again, the Meiri and the Balei Tosis and so on, we understand why you might distinguish between Zorek and Mavir, and indeed there's a Machlokas HaRishonim within the view of the Balei Tosis, whether we make the distinction between Zorek and Mavir. With regard to Moshit, right, it's in a way the opposite direction, but it's a parallel opposite, because what we're saying is, if you're Mabir, Rishus HaYachid, Derech Rishus HaRabim, that should be Potter. But maybe Zorek is like Moshit and is Chayv. And there we're saying that Zorek might be more Chayv. Again, the point I'm trying to make is that we have ample precedent for distinguishing between Zerika and Mabir. In some cases, it's very understandable in terms of front-loadedness, you know, the integrated activity and so on and so forth. Others has to do with the Tzura, for example, the relationship between Zorek and Moshit. Sometimes it's Lekula and sometimes it's Lechom. But this particular one, the idea of throwing Rishuyos that we would distinguish between Zorek and Mavir, is not so obvious, and it is a Chiddush in the Tosfos Rid. What I'm going to suggest is that, you know, even if we do accept that Chiddush, maybe it has to do with what we were talking about a second ago. But what I really prefer to say is that maybe we don't even need to say that. But again, according to this view, motzi kaveres mirshus lirshus, according to Tosfos Rid, would actually be chayv, according to Rashi, if this is really the pshat. What I'd really like to suggest, based on what we said before, is a different application. And that is, if the difference, if the idea behind zrikas rishuyos, and the reason that it might be patur, is this idea of a rishus is not a chafetza, right? And it's in the nature of what the Isser of Hotza is, that you know, that giving a new destiny to a place, to an object, is part of the Mechayev. So then what I think you might say is that normally when you have something that's neutral, or you have a kli, you know, or something that's neutral, and it has the dimensions of a rishus, so then all things being equal, it can become a rishus. But where you have a certain kli, which is kind of a kli by definition, halachically, and as a chalos, right? So then the idea that even if it has the dimensions of a rishus, that would be viewed as rikas rishuyos or havaras rishuyos rather than havaras chefetz, I think is exactly the answer to the problem. And when it comes to the mizbeach and when it comes to the, you know, aron and so on, though they have dimensions, the whole yesod is that they're kelim, they're kli hamikdash, That's what they're called. And it's true they have the dimensions of a Rishus, but no one is ever going to look at the Aron or the Mizbeach or the Shulchan as a Chachta Shel Rishus. You're always going to look at them as a Kli. And where you put them, and you know, in what Rishus they are, you know, destined to be, is always going to be looked at in that way as well. So if we interpret this way, not just by the example of the Mishkan, let's say, but by the concept of Zrikas Rishuyos being something which doesn't make sense, or Havaras Rishuyos, then I think we could explain that the Kli HaMikdash, that's what they are. It's the role they play in the Mishkan as props. There's always, they're Nitan Lamasa, they're Nitan Lapiruk, all of these things, the Torah's, you know, their presence and what it does for the Rishus, not intrinsically as Rishuyos, then I think that we could explain that, you know, even according to Rashi, there's no problem of the Tosfos Shan. Either way, that is Shitas Rashi, and according to Rashi, another Nafkamina would be, again, you could discuss whether or not there's a difference between Zrika and Havara. I'm saying no, and, you know, the Episcopalian is saying yes. But another Nafkamina would be, of course, what Rishonim bring out, and that is if the thing lands on its side and not up and down. Because according to Rashi, that wouldn't matter. If you throw something that has dimensions of a Rishus, and we really treat it as a Rishus, then whether it lands vertically or lands horizontally would be irrelevant. That's something that the Ran, here in the name of the Ra, points out as well. Yeah.
Right, as another technical point you could argue, we've always been assuming that carrying the Aron in terms of the way we're actually moving the Mishkan once it was already created could be part of the Mitzvah Mishkan.
Yeah.
Is it possible that Rashi could just argue over the premise that you can include things that are already, I mean, we already saw in Sadi Beis where he quotes from Rapaigon, according to Shitas, that talk about the Avoda being part of the Mitzvah Mishkan, what is actually done. But could he just argue that making the Mishkan is what defines the Mitzvah Mishkan, that's the only thing that will count for the Nyan Yitzhak, but who cares about how they moved stuff once the Mishkan was built?
I'm not following. Say one more time.
I mean, Rashi could argue that the only things that count from Lechus HaMishkan are the things that actually were involved in the building of the Mishkan.
I mean, like the debate between, in general, the Yerushalmi and the Babi.
That's any case. Like, Rashi quotes the two deos over there with Masa B'nei Kos.
Right.
Does it include...
In general, does it include the Korbanos? Does it include only the building of the Mishkan, etc.?
Right.
But we do know that Masa, that carrying the Aron, ala Katev, is included.
Well, for Tosfos.
For the Gemara, why not for the mission of the Gemara? Isn't it Masa B'nei
Kahas? I would assume that was moving the Koresh in the place in the first place.
Oh, I see.
Tosfos are the ones who tried to use the Aron as a Ryan, and the Rashba ends up arguing. But
so, I mean, it's only the Koreshim and not the Kalim?
Yeah,
you're saying something that's a bit of a variation of what I'm saying, but a little, but just different.
It's more technical.
That's what I'm saying. More technical.
Yeah.
Right. In other words, you can't bring a Ryan from the Mishkan. Because it's only because it's our Klei HaMishkan, it isn't the Chatzah Shel Mishkan. And I'm saying they're Klei HaMishkan, and therefore, even when they have the dimensions of a Rishus, we always look at them as Klei HaMishkan. And then they were carried that way. So we're saying the same thing, but I'm just saying it is in a much more ambitious way to get out of the problem. You're saying, oh, there's no paradigm or precedent, let's say, in the Mishkan itself. I'm saying there is, but that's beside the point. I hear. Okay. Very good. So that's one issue. Yeah.
Isn't B'nai Kahas? B'nai Kahas is Bakal Seifi, so that's not the Koreshim.
Oh,
that's B'nai Kahas were the claiming for the Kahas.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Right, there's
that's
no.
But that's what I said before.
That's
so I think we're okay. But I really think this is instinctively, I think it's a better answer than the answer of the Tosfos Rid. I also think, as I say, once we've said it, that this, you know, the general idea about, you know, moving things and throwing things, you know, comes into play in that, according to that perspective as well. But okay, that will leave aside. Now, the alternative is Tosfos. So what's Tosfos's view? Aminadav? What's the problem? It's not, Tosfos doesn't buy into the whole Rishuyos thing. There's no difference between Zrikas and never mind Havaras, Rishus and Havaras Chefetz. It's the same thing. So what is the issue here? Yeah, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. Do it quickly. It's interesting, it's funny a little bit because, and if we did learn Zorik from Moshe, would we think that that would include this scenario? So I think that's a typical, I think it depends on how you understand motion, right? This Zerach Agat, this is not the main point, obviously. But as we talked about whether motion is simply, you know, an exceptional case, it's really like Mavir, and it's just an exceptional case because Rosh Hashayachid, you know, Lamala Me'asara, and it's an exception to Shnayim Shosu, and it's an exception to Lamala Me'asara, and it's an exception to Rosh Hashayachid. That's one of the approaches. Or whether or not it isn't just a completely, to kind of neutralize all the exceptional elements of it, each in its own right. And B, if you want to go like Rav Sadia Gaon and so on, that this is about bridging Rishuyos and so on. It's not just Rishayachid, Lamala Me'asara, you know, Behoshata. Right. So this Tosis is you know, Lishitaso is kind of assuming that all that's significant about Moshit, right, is are these facts, you know, Rishayachid, Lamala Me'asara. Because otherwise, I mean, if you're a Haigon or Sadia Gaon or any of the Gonim who have this different view, or anybody who has this different view of what Moshit is, right? The idea that it would be considered Moshit, Mirshus Ayachid, when you're creating the Rishus Ayachid on the other side, is just peculiar. It's the whole idea is that you have these two Rishuyos, right? And you're doing something that kind of merges them or bridges them, you know, together. That's the Chalos here. How can you talk about that when the, you know, destination Rosh Hashayachid is being created by you, that's the davar that you're being moshit or zorek, right? Anyway, that's just a quick hachra. But let's continue. Yeah, that's also worth making note of. Why the kol makom shimunachas? Yeah. So what's that all about? Also strange, right? A little bit. There's an implicit question here. There's a little bit of it being Tomar via Shlomar, right?
I mean, why don't we say that Kut Mishon Padamia applies?
And then it's like, and then?
And then it should be
Chayiv. Why? Because in the air, it's not. It's in the air of what? Rosh Hashanah. So it's in the air of Rosh Hashanah. So that sounds like a pretty good question.
Yeah.
Right? So actually, the Tosis Shonim on the side says, V'od, the Kolam Alamiyud, Pata Rabbi Akiva. Right? That's interesting. He's saying, it isn't Rosh Hashanah, it's Mokom Ptur. So the Tosis Shonim here is possibly the Shitaso of the Tosis Shonim and Avdalit Omid Beis. Right, if you remember, so what happened on Dalet Amud Beis? Kelly, remember? Tosis had this interesting comment.
He said that we're not going to be able to learn Zorak out for Moshi, and also say
Kluta for Rabbi Akiva.
For Rabbi Akiva, because then we're going to say Kluta when it's in the Makom Ptur. It's not going to be a straight passage.
Right, because if you hold Kluta, then the Mala Miyud, when you're learning Zorak from Moshi, it should be Pater Midin Makom Ptur. And the Ramban argued for his reason, because he said there was an intervening Rishus. We just didn't know whether he meant that, or he was his way of saying something about Makom Ptur, right?
Right.
But that was the Ramban's answer. What was the Tosis Shonim's answer? That you just don't say Kluta.
Don't say Kluta
and Makom Ptur, because of the Kula. Right? And that's the same Tosis Shonim then says, and that's why also Tok Dal Ramos, you don't say Kluta. So the Tosis Shonim here is basically saying, the Kolam Alam Yud, right? Pata Rabbi Akiva. I mean, there's no Kluta in a Makom Ptur against Tosis. Okay. But what about... Okay, so since the dimensions are that it's higher than Yud, so until it hits the ground, it's always going to be higher than Yud. Of course, there could be an answer to that, technically. It doesn't have to be true, right? Because even though... What?
Right, some of it is just wrapped.
Well, then with some of this, that gets the Krumios business, which we'll get to soon, right? But in addition to that, I mean, it could be all Rosh Hashanah, even. Like, I don't know, you know how to... Yeah, you know, if you know how to... Like we said, the pastime, right? If you know how to curve your kaveras throwing, you know, you throw like a... you know, knuckleball kind of, you know, with the, or there was a guy, you know, way back, you know, if you want, really want to know Bikias, you know, no one heard of Steve Hamilton? Baseball
still,
people, baseball historians?
Still working on Mike Bossy.
Mike Bossy. Steve Hamilton, anybody?
Oh, no, I'm not really.
Well, Steve Hamilton was a pitcher for the New York Yankees, and he developed something that they used to call the folly floater. You know that? Anyways, and I'm a Canadian. But the, anyways, so the point is that the it doesn't have to be physically, it doesn't have to be that the, I mean, it's likely that it's in you know, Lamalabia, but it doesn't have to be Lamalabia. But the important point, I think, here is as follows. What's Tosis assuming? The kol mokom shehi munachas chashiv reshus hayachid. Meaning what? Yeah.
Oh, sorry, no, I don't want to interrupt.
Did you want to say about that?
No, about it. I just had a question about that.
Oh, go ahead. Ask me the
question. Oh, no, I was just wondering. I think I missed how is the Tosco, because this would be Lafit, not Lator.
This would be... No, I thought he's saying... One second. No, I thought he's answering the question. Kolam alam yud pater Rabbi Akiva. He's saying that's not a problem. Peter Rabbi Akiva who says kuta kamishun chadami, and therefore you should have said that before. It's true that when it lands, it's rishus hayachid, derech rishus harabim. But before it lands, it's rishus hayachid that's in a rishus harabim in the air. So I thought that Tosfos Shonim was saying, yeah, but it's lamala me'asara. So it's kluta, but it's kluta in the makom p'tur. Am I getting something wrong?
I thought Remy said that was Lashit Tasa with the other.
Oh, I see. No, you're right. I'm sorry. I think you're right. The code, the kolamala miyud, patar, Rabbi. So what's it saying about Rabbi Kiva? Oh, yeah. I think your aura is correct. Wait a second. I was assuming. I mean, there's no kluta should be chayev. You're saying,
right?
Tosi Shannon. There's no kluta. No, but then it's hamunach.
Right. Sorry. Yeah. I mean, it just should be.
You're just saying it's forget about it. It's irrelevant to that.
Right.
Okay. So it's just an I guess it's just an interesting added ha'ara that the opposite. I guess that this Tosi Shannon is assuming that there is kluta in makom p'tur.
Right, but could it be that this gufa gets to the point of part of its rishus harabim?
Why do you say that?
Meaning
it says kol amalam yud pater Rabbi Akiva.
Right, I'm saying to resolve it with other tosis shanim. Maybe he's willing to say kluta, or at least part of its rishus harabim. The fact that part of its in rishus harabim is going to activate the kluta, but then there's going to be a different scale for measuring which rishus is in. It's in a makom p'tur. I don't know if that's too.
I don't know. But I think about it. That sounds a little complicated to me. I'm not sure. But let me get back to the other point just for a minute, and that is, so afilu Rabbi Akiva d'amar kluta k'misha huncha hachi pata de kamakom shimunachas chashav rishus hayachid. What's he saying there? Is that obvious, or that also a little mechudash? What do you think? I mean, again, let's assume he doesn't have the problem of makom p'tur and so on. So he's really asking, basically saying, v'im tomar, if you hold like Rabbi Akiva kluta, so we don't define hanacha only when it hits the ground. We define hanacha even when it's in the air. When it's in the air, it's in rishus harabim, right? Or there's a point where it's in rishus harabim. Let's assume. So then you should be chayiv. So what's his answer? No. We don't say that. So I think this is a very important comment. The kol makom shimunachas chashiv rishus hayachid. Right? So what's he saying, Elliot?
I think the view of kluta that it's kimu, it's munach.
Meaning kluta, if you say kluta is connected to the karka, or
yeah,
to its makom shesofa lanuach, or something like that, then, you know, you don't, it doesn't, it's, you know, in the air part at least, it's not, it's in a way, a little bit, Well, yeah. You know, it's almost like an opposite of the Ramban a little bit, but the Makom Patur, you know, and the Sarab intervened. Yeah. It isn't the steer of the Ramban. Basically, what he's saying is, it's not... if the karka, in other words, of the airspace is going to make it a Rishus HaYachid, then it's considered to be Munach or Rishus HaYachid, even in the air. That's what Tosa seems to be saying. Right? So that is a certain perspective on Kluta. Yeah.
In terms of the svar, you could say it's actually very connected to the Ramban. One of the ways that we can interpret the Ramban is that the reason why we can't say Kluta is because the Ramban insists upon Kluta connecting to the ground.
Yeah.
Here it's Itpilik Mirushusa because of the Makom Patur. So those here aren't saying the Itpilik Mirushusa part, but they're also saying that the Kluta Kilo brings it down to the ground.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was kind of hesitant. And right. You're 100%. It's a very good point. Correct. Okay, so that's, I'm just saying there happened to be just the things that we've done, and, you know, Derech Agav, some interesting haros in these Lashonos, yeah.
So just for Tosfos, the point is that something in the air can't be considered Rishus, it's not about moving?
Well, if the air contradicts the ground, then you don't say Kluta in the air. That's what he seems to be saying, right? I mean, you have Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim. If you were to freeze the object flying in the air, it's in Rishus HaRabim.
Why not Rishus HaYachid?
Yeah, but when it lands, it's going to be Rishus HaYachid.
Why only when it lands? I mean, what's the difference between when it's on the ground in Rishus HaRabim, that we're going to say it's Rishus HaYachid, versus when it's just in the air in Rishus HaRabim, but it itself is Rishus HaYachid?
I hear that too, but is that what he's saying? I thought he's saying that it's because of where it lands. You're saying something else. You're saying he's throwing a rishus, so the rishus is always self-containing. It's like the rishus is, you know, has its own.
Isn't that what he has to be saying? Because when it's on the ground, still the ground below is still rishus rab. There's a rishus hiyafid, which is the
kol mokom shehi munachas. Oh, you think that's what he means?
The ground which is underneath.
You mean saying munachas in the air? I guess you could read it that way too. You're saying it's self-contained, whatever it is in the freeze it in the air, and in the air it's rishus has the dimensions of rishus hayachid. So it's a rishus hayachid and rishus, all rishus hayachids are rishus harabim in a way. That's what you're saying. I thought that he was saying because on the ground, when it hits the ground, it's going to, right now it's in the airspace of rishus harabim. But as soon as it lands, that whole airspace that it's going to land is going to be transformed into Rishus HaYachid. Put it this way, while it's flying through the air, is the airspace Rishus HaYachid? Or just the object in it? I guess that's enough, Kamina. But I totally see how you can read it that way. That's an open question. Okay, good. So everybody got that? Good. That's very important. So these go a little bit on the Kluta lists, obviously. That so again, when just to sum up, the Tosas here is asking, what about Kluta? The answer seems to be either that the, you know, Rishus HaYachid that is hurtling through the sky or through the air is like a self-containing, you know, Rishus even in the air, so it's Rishus HaYachid. Wherever it is, it's always a Rishus HaYachid, basically. That we always, the reason that we consider Kluta in the air is always because, again, Kemisha Hun Chadami, because we consider it to be like Roa Pnei Hakarka, and in this particular case, you know, we anticipate, you know, what it's going to be. Either way, all of this is very fascinating. It's all based on a certain assumption. Right. Now, Rashi's assumption is that, you know, Zrikas Rishuyos, at least, if not Havaris Rishuyos, is a different category, and it's not, you know, and it's a significant difference, enough difference, to affect, you know, whether the Mechayev of Hotzah works. Fine, then we discuss that. Tosis is also making a huge assumption, right? What is that? Hanan? What's the assumption of Tosis? of?
Well, that's
what Zrikas HaChepetz, but there's a simultaneity going on here, and that, you know, always has its own complications. So basically, you know, what Rashi may be wanting to avoid in all of this is this idea that, after all, at the time of the Akira, right, the place where this is going to end up landing was a Rosh Hasharabim. And a second before it landed, you know, it was a Rosh Hasharabim. And, you know, it's only a kind of, you know, it's a second later that it's a Rosh Hashayachid. So, you know, what is the status of Vasachas, you can say, or does it depend on Vasachas? Does everything depend on the second before the Hanacha? So this is an interesting, again, you know, one could talk a lot about this, and Lashonos are important, and the Rishonim, and the Gemaras even before the Rishonim, but we don't have time. I just want to, you know, do a quick in and out here. So we'll just say the following. Number one, there's a general, you know, problem of, you know, Gito V'yado, Boeing Kiachas type issues. Right, we know it in Gittin. We know that some Rishonim extended it, you know, beyond. The Ritva, for example, talks about in terms of Gneva, you know, Yish and Shini Rishus. Many Achronim take this idea of Gito V'yado, Boeing Kiachas, you know, and apply it to other things. We also know the famous view of the Xos, right, in Simon Reish, where he argues that you shouldn't apply the equivalent of Gito V'yado Boeing Kiachas to other areas of halacha, especially where you need, you know, some sort of formality, kinyan in particular. The Xos's solution is that when it comes to a physical act, like, you know, Nesina, Nosim B'yado, like a get, or Shechur Eved, maybe, so, you know, then you can have, you know, Gito V'yado Boeing Kiachas. Otherwise, you know, you don't have necessarily the right to anticipate after and to create the after by anticipating, you know, simultaneously. Either way, that's just like a, you know, perspective. So when it comes to Shabbos, we actually do have a bunch of cases. But what's interesting about them is that the Gemara itself isn't so sure about any of them. And the Gemara also considers the possibility of distinguishing between them. And it's hard to know what those distinctions are going to be based on. So what are those other issues, Aaron? Which we've seen, and which we've seen even, you know, kind of recently, in the last couple of weeks. Where do we have such examples, or such issues? In Shabbos, in addition to this one, which is a biggie.
Like the Chuliyah.
Exactly, and that's what Tosus, we'll see in a moment, as Aminadav continues reading, that's exactly what Tosus is quoting, right? Meaning the sugya is on Tzadi, Tes, Amud, Beis, right? Let's say you, what happens there, Aaron?
So the guy has a question.
You're digging a pit, and
the
stuff that the material that you remove from the pit is what makes it amok asara,
yeah.
Right? That's one case, or the opposite case. You throw stuff into the pit, and that's what makes it a rishus harabim, right? Now, some cases these are. The Gemara itself seems to consider the possibility of being mechalek between those two cases. Ah, so is the chiluk? This is again. I'm not going to pursue this because it's too. Is the chiluk akira versus bismano akira versus bismano anocha, or is it rishus harabim versus rishus hayachid? A lot of issues that we've been talking about all year, right? Akira and hanocha. Right, both in terms of initiative and beginning and end, in terms of which is the real Machayev, the Kumbasei Sheval Taisa, right, three overlapping issues that we've encountered again and again and again in Akira, you know, Vahanacha. Right, the difference between Chiyuv and Ptur, right, might be a distinction, where we've had again and again, too, right, in Kuta and Ben Azai, and again, we've also had contrary indications, right? Easier to be mechayev, easier to be poter, more formal to be poter, or more formal to be mechayev, right? Even within Ben Azai and Kluto, we had some of those, or Shadinofo, you know, and so on. We've had those. So, what are the distinctions here? Is it maybe a third possibility, right? Not Akira v'Hanacha, not Kiyuv and Ptur, maybe Rishus Hayachid versus Rishus Harabim, right? To create a Rishus Hayachid by simultaneity. one issue. To create a Rishus HaRabim, you know, meaning to undermine the Rishus HaYachid and to create a Rishus HaRabim, right? Is it easier to create one or the other? And again, as we've said again and again, right, that, you know, the Dalad of Rishuyos, and especially Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim, but as well the others, you know, to what extent are we, you know, we're dealing with different Rishuyos and different properties and different characteristics that define them, but, you know, Rishus is a Rishus. Or not, not really, not that at all. Maybe the different characteristics also highlight how much of a Chalos Rishus, how much of a non-Rishus, right, how functional, how structural, you know, and so on and so forth. How formalistic, how pragmatic, you know, Bikias Rabim, you know, privacy. So, you know, is that maybe what's going on here? It's not the question of Kula and Chumra or the Kira of Hanacha, maybe it's Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim. For that matter, what would be the law, what would be the Halacha regarding a Karmelis? Right, same kind of a question. Right, let's say you created, you took out the Dalid, you know. For that matter, the Gemara does have another question, right? And that's, number one, what would be the story of Karmelis and Malkum Patur? Let's say you took away its, or you created its dimensions, or you added to its dimensions. Would that be different than either Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim? Just food for thought. And Od Chazoning Lamoed. That's something to consider very seriously. What about, we've been talking about Gova, Yud, right? Making it Yud, making it less than Yud. What about on the Dalet al Dalet side? Right? How much time have we spent talking about the relationship between the Dalet al Dalet factor in Rishuyos or even in Hotzah, and let's say the Yud factor in Rishuyos, or the Akira Vahanacha factor, you know, in Hotzah. So one of the cases, our own, is not just digging out the pit or throwing dirt into the pit, but what's the other case? One of the other cases on Tzadi Tesson Beis. Excellent, exactly. You throw this, you either remove a machzelis and you create a dalid al dalid in the process, right, in one fell swoop, right? Or you are memaid the dalid al dalid by inserting a machzelis. So is the, you know, are rules the same, both in terms of maisa hotzah? Does maisa kirva hanacha the role of dalid al dalid? As well as in terms of Rishuyos, right? And we know even that you might be Michalik because, you know, there's some question whether Dalet al Dalet's role is the same in both. What is the relationship between other factors in Hotzah Hachnasa and other factors in Rishuyos, especially vertical, vertical Shiurim? So, having said all of that, it's fast. That's what Tosis goes on kind of to discuss, right? So we're not going to Aminadav, go ahead, just to get the general discussion, but of course it really requires, you know, a microscopic analysis here of the languages and the Havaminas and what you can split off from what, but go ahead. Perka Zorik, is that where we're up to? Where were we?
Perka Zorik, by reveal from board. Tisha, the agreement of Folia, Mishum la Sara, meaning which is a rabbin. Here as Theos has yes, Pizza, Adidadikas. Mukhaya, hello.
Yeah. Ibn Tim Salomar.
We'll have a pizza, Sara, me, Karo, Mukhaya, for Asara.
Well, Mukhaya, Kama.
Hello, Mukhaya, of course. Folia, Umiato, Mal. No has very specific Mukhitsa, Hulai.
So again, that's interesting, as we said, which is that about? The Rishuyos, is that about Akira Vanacha? Is that about Chayim Ptur? Those distinctions, in other words, right? Vim Kain,
Vaya Dipshidele, the Machatzel, the Vatha Mukhitsa, Mukhitsa, the Kamar Hassam, or Rishus Rab, Amukasar Rabab,
Shas,
the Zar Kotok Machatzeles, the Tholko, Pater, Rishim Tahash, the Havi Ruha Arba, Hoshkin, the Padra Sias Mukhitsa, Rishim Tahib and the Havi Mukhitsa, Sara, Meikara, from Machai.
Yeah, because he's looking at it in terms of Yetziras Mechitzos, right? But if you look at it from simultaneity, you might say the opposite, right? Go ahead. Hare,
Darmish is Rabbi
Chai. Yeah, he's basically talking about these issues. Now again, to pin it down exactly is tough in this one Tosas, obviously. But you know, is this about the simultaneity of Akira v'Hanacha? Is it about how difficult it is to either break up or to create vertical conditions for mechitzos, right? Depending on what it is, this is either a problem or a consistent view. Okay. Oh, the pshita. But then, whatever you say in one area gets you ripples to the other. Go ahead. Oh, the pshita later, Rabbi Yochanan. Mibasilik mechitza, right? Exactly. Yeah. Maybe it isn't about asiyas and silik mechitzos, which also could be about. Again, Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachid, maybe it's about, you know, Akira versus Hanacha, right? So again, this Tosis is just a good, you know, opening of the discussion, you know, of these various issues. So basically, you know, what comes out of all of this, though, is that it's, you know, Tosis is trying to understand very well that they're, you know, they're moving in this direction, and that this issue is this issue. Obviously, Rashi will tell you that you know, it's one thing to talk about, you know, adding a tefach or removing a tefach and so on, but in terms of you know creating a whole new status of Rishus HaYachid based on Akira v'Hanacha, not adding to the mechitza or detracting from the mechitza. But you know, moving the Rishus, you know, entirely and taking over a Chetzeshel Rishus HaRabim and turning it into Rishus HaYachid, you know, that's a whole different story, and we don't anticipate in terms of simultaneity, you know, in that case. We look at the object as at the place is Rishus HaRabim. That isn't affected by the Akira v'Hanacha. That's what it was a second ago. He, meaning Rashi, will assume that you just don't integrate, you know, this into that broader question. Okay, so that is an interesting issue. Agav. So, what about the Aron question? The Aron and the Mizbeach question, right? So, I believe something I have to check, but as I recall. A while past, I think some of the Achronim discuss also, you know, whether or not you have to say the same kind of thing that the Tosis Rid, you know, suggested for Rashi. So it's interesting to note that the Rambam, who seems to operate with, anybody see the Rambam? Perek Yudalid? Robbie? Computer.
I can read it.
Oh,
halacha.
So he says it's sounds like. Except that the Rambam adds the words motzi, right? So this is also, I think, the view of the Ritva Latar. Balitosis only speak about Zorik. The Gemara speaks only about Zorik. Tosa Rosh, others speak only about Zorik. So again, I think the question is whether or not there is a difference or not in order to answer what would you say about the. They transported the Aron that was considered Otsah, right? But the second they put it down, it's Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid, right? Same kind of question. Again, you could say that, well, it's not a strong question, but So some of the Achronim here also, I'm trying to remember, Yeshua and others, say, oh, maybe this this distinction, maybe Tobali Tosis or Mechalik between Mavir and Zorek. And maybe that also has to do, maybe it's connected to the big, you know, that other Shita, the one in Daf Beis Amud Aleph, and Erevin Lamed Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph, the way they learned the Gemara and Sadi Zayin Amud Aleph, of Rishis Hayachid, Derech, you know, Rishis HaRabim, you know, assuming there that that's only in Mavir, but that in Zorek, you know, we don't have that halacha. So that's why this halacha is only in Zorek. The other one's in Mavir. In other words, Rishis Hayachid, Rishis Hayachid, Derech, Rishis HaRabim, would, it's this, a little bit different than the Tosfos Rit. In other words, the Tosfos Rit idea is that we're actually mechalik between Zorek and Mavir, and the token of it. What some of the Achronim are saying for Bali Tosis is, well, it's Okasha, because if you're Mavir, it's always Rishis Hayachid, Rishis Hayachid, Derech, Rishis HaRabim, that's the Bali Tosis view, right? That you're always Chayiv for that. So you don't need the you know, either way, you don't get the Petura of Rishis Hayachid, Derech, Rishis HaRabim, if it's Mavir. Okay. But if it's Zorek, but the assumption there is twofold. Number one, that we're talking about traversing Dalet Amos versus Arabin, if that's necessary, that's one issue, as we know. And the other, that, you know, that din and that chiddush of Tosis on Lamed Gimel and Dabbeis and Lamed Gimel and Erevin and Tosis Dabbeis and so on, as we know, there are two big issues, right? Is it like the Meiri or not, basically? You know, is there a Dalet Amos versus Arabin, A? And B, is it really true that we're Mechalik between Mavir and Zorek? Right? We saw, you know, that's both of those issues are questionable. But anyway, it's just important to know that some of the Achronim want to suggest that would solve, you know, the equivalent of the Tosis Yishanim question against Rashi for Tosis, or just to be Mechalik between Mavir and Zohar. I was wondering, again, Lashitasi, that since that maybe there's another difference between Zorek and Mavir. And that's Gufo regarding this question of anticipation, you know, and Boeing Kiachas. That's maybe there's a difference between, and again, you could argue, I think, in either direction, but if we find that Zorek and Mavir are different in terms of how, you know, how integrated they are, how front-loaded they are, etc., is it possible that we would also be Mechalek between them, you know, regarding this this question of Simon Fnate? Something to think about. Okay. Okay. Having said that, I just want to add one other point, and that is the question of Karmelis. I mentioned before that in theory you might be Mechalek between Rishis HaRabim and Rishis HaYachid for various reasons. So part of the discussion that Rashi, you know, enters into in terms of you know, Karmelis Bekalim, as we know, this is, you know, part of this as well. And then we had that stira or seeming stira, and we made suggestions to resolve it with Teva on the bottom of the page on Chesam and Aleph, and we connected it up to our discussion on Heyom and Aleph. And then goes Hashri and the whole business, whatever, the Miri. So this question of Rishuyos, number one, is Karmelis considered to be enough of a Chalos Rishus that Rashi's halacha would apply? But I think in similar fashion, what would be the story, let's say you didn't have the dimensions of Rishus HaYachid, but you had the dimensions of a Karmelis, for Tosis's issue. You know, we do apply the same kind of Boeing Kiachas idea that Tosis is comfortable with in terms of Rishis HaYachid to Karmelis. Right? Maybe that gufa depends on how we look at Karmelis as well. Okay. And then finally, just another point on this part of the sugya. The chromios shall kana. So how does that part go? Or 2 points, two more points quickly. Who's reading? Ravi?
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
So,
yes. Yaf shall chromios shall kana shall yala lamala miasara. So two things. That's what Rava said.
Yeah.
And Abaya seems to disagree. So this is just a reminder, where do we have this before, this discussion? Again, in the Rishonim and Erevin. In the Lamala Me'asara. And in Shabbos.
That's partially in
Yeah, I'm saying it came up when we were discussing some of those cases, right? Including Rishisayach and Rishisayach and Derek Rishisarabim, and particularly Masa B'nai Kah. It's like your feet are on the ground, but you're, right? What's the difference? If your feet are on the ground, but the object is held higher, right? Why do we say that that's grounded, right? Right? Not in the electrical way and not in the, punishment way, but, connected to the ground. Right? Why not say it's like Krumios shall kana? Some of the Rishonim who didn't like the interpretation of Masa B'nei Kahas that's favored by, let's say, who is it? Somebody Ben Shneer. What is it? The Rambam Shneer, right? And some of the Bali Tosis who say it in a less extreme way, but the Rambam Shneer and Erevin and so on, they're bothered by this problem, right? Because they say it's like Krumios shall kana. So some of the Rishonim in here and in Erevin, right, and the Ravid, they discuss this issue. What are the parameters of this particular halacha? So this needs to be integrated, obviously into that discussion. Is there even a machlok? Sounds like the machlokas of Abaye and Rava. So is the machlokas between Abaye and Rava dafka and krumio shokana? Maybe shiny krumio shokana, right? Why, Ellie? Because what?
The kaveris fills up the whole space.
Meaning krumio, what do you mean it fills up the whole space?
I think the Rashba maybe makes a distinction that we're only gonna have this problem when it says Ochal the entire area of the Rishos. It's kind of like it's not contained in the Rishos.
And the krumio shokana is not sufficient. That what you're saying? The krumio shokana is not sufficient to define the object. Or are you saying something different?
Okay, it could be I just came in from, but so it could be I missed something.
No, I'm asking why. I'm just pointing out that this question of something which is grounded in a rishus and then tips over the top. I mean, we could have different scenarios, obviously, right? You could have something which is
question is why that would be potter.
Yeah, or would be why would it be potter? Why would it be chayiv? In our Gemara, the Gemara says that Rava says here that my taima, right? Rama feel in a rechava vav pator, right? Yafshel akrumia shalkana shalayal lamala miasar, right? And Abaya thinks that it is pator, right? Unless it's rechava vav, right? So a is there a machlokas between Abaya and Rava? I mean, obviously there's a little machlokas. Is the machlokas in Abaye and Rava machlokas practically in Metzias, meaning whether Afshal Etzamtzeim, whether you can, whether you can have a situation where there aren't krumios shalkana that are lamala? Maybe there are some who understand it that way, right? Or is the point that's why I pointed out that we had this before when we talked about lamala, miasara, somebody who's grounded on the bottom, and these lamala miasara. So there are views that see that as it all goes down to the ground, and there are those who think not. Now again, is that only walking? Is that even stationary? Is it better to be walking or stationary? Does in theory I might have said, it depends on, and maybe this is what you were saying, on how much or what quality is lamata and what quality is lamala. There are certain things that their presence lamala, if something is integrated in particular, so the whole thing is lamala, or the bottom just can't contain it, as you say. I'm not sure if that's what you meant, but right. And there are other things where basically it's in the lamata rishus and it sticks up a little bit. So I think that there are two types of issues. One is assessing the you know, particular metziuses, including something like krumiel shulchanos. So obviously, krumiel shulchanos is something pretty trivial. There's a bit of a chiddush in Rava to say, oh, the whole thing depends on the tippy-tippy top, and it's even the tippy-top which isn't nachutz, or doesn't really play a role in the tochen of the kli. So that will still define the whole thing as being b'makom p'tur and not being in the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, right? You could have said, oh, maybe it depends on another place to draw the line. It depends on, let's say there are sections, right? Maybe it depends on Rove. Maybe it depends on other sections, you know, sections that play, you know, a substantive role, but you could do without them, you know, if you would, you know, command the chatuch or whatever. Meaning this question, I think there are several chilukim that you can make. It also could be that it depends on the rishus that we're talking about. In other words, if we're talking about makom p'tur and rishus harabim, that's one issue. And if we're talking about other rishuyos, you know, where something is both in and out, again, rishus hayachid, in a case where it's not ola ad l'rakia, let's say, or rishus hayachid in its width, where you have something sticking out into another rishus, is that the same? This would be another fruitful issue, right, to compare different rishuyos, you know, in terms of, you know, how, whether there's a qualitative difference, or whether we just say mid-nishma, you know, mid-ex nishma le-y. Either way, if assuming Abai and Rav are not arguing whether or not kind of efshel at samsem and we have to worry about krumios, there seems to be an interesting argument about krumios, and there seems to be a general agreement that things sticking up would be considered a makom p'tur, but all that has to be, as I say, negotiated, or, you know, together with the evidence from Lamala Miasara in Masa B'nei Kahas, and so on, where it seems to be going in different directions on the chilukim that the Rishonim make. Okay. So that's something to know. It should just also be, in that regard, just to mention that the Rambam, when he quotes this halacha, doesn't quote it by Krumiel Shulchanos. Right? How does he have it, Robbie?
Rambam?
Yeah.
Let's see the look. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what's the case?
So he's talking about a kana or a roma. So that's something more substantial.
Something much more substantial. So the achronim on the Rambam, the mefarshim on the Rambam, wonder, is that the Rambam's krumiel shulchana? Or is it significant that the Rambam, that he ignored Krumiel Shulchanah because he thought it's not Yafshar? You know, but this is his Krumiel Shulchanah, and Luy Tzuyer was Krumiel Shulchanah, that would be enough too. As the Rishus is always defined, it's always defined by, if it can't contain, it can't contain. If it's decorative or trivial or whatever, doesn't matter, it's still in, it's not contained, it's in a different Rishus. Or does the Rambam mean only something which is more substantive? Right, the Romach or the Kana. And again, where do you draw the line in that? Meaning, it loses its definition without it? That would be obviously very compelling. Or it contributes quantitatively to its performance. You have a Kana, so it'd be a smaller Kana. You have a Romach, it could be a smaller Romach, or it wouldn't be a Romach, it wouldn't be a Kana without the top. I'm not saying you can envision two types of issues. One is you know, just the role of quantity and quality in what it is that's lamata and what's lamala, and that's part of the discussion. And the other is, as I say, the possibility of there being other qualitative factors in terms of what, you know, something that's in two rishuyos at the same time. You know, which rishus is it really in? Either rishuyos factors, and how, you know, how much of a chalos rishus we're talking about, how exclusive this rishus has to be, maybe if it's in both rishuyos, you know, it's always to the makel one, or maybe if it's in both rishuyos, it's always, maybe that depends on which rishus we're talking about. And so, just pointing out some of the other factors that could play a role here, in addition to the physical characteristics and the physical level of being you know, in the second rishos. And what about, you know, is it only gova? Is it only also rochav? And so on and so forth. Okay, this is, you know, eged yad type issues in a way, you know, too. Obviously, you have a kli, or you have an object, right, which is, you know, in more than one rishos at the same time. Let's say horizontally, you know, and does it matter that you could yank it back? You know, things of that sort. Does it matter if it's considered in both, etc.? So that, finally, in terms of this sugya, zorek kaveres klape mata to be mitzarif the lavud. Okay, so what do we make of that? What's the last part of the Gemara? Go ahead. Yeah. So this is an interesting issue too. It goes on a big long list. Which big long list?
Definitely on the Lovewood list.
Exactly. It goes on the Lovewood list. Right? Because again, the Havamina clearly is that, you know, there's Lovewood and it works. It's a filled in gap. But the Gemara's conclusion seems to be, in the way we paskin, seems to be that if mechitzos atochen asuyos, first of all, you need mechitzos, right? If it was upside down, you wouldn't say, you know, if it was, you know, the bottom, the shulayim, you certainly wouldn't say lava. That's important, right? So there has to be something, you know, legally compelling, you know, that's, you know, seeking, you know, to join with the ground in order to say lava. But it isn't just that the, or maybe the lavud that says that the three tvachim are all considered, you know, the ground is fine. But then, if the ground goes up, you know, it doesn't help you in terms of mechitzos. We're trying to say lavud here. We talked about this, you know, lachad or hitni and the gemara later on, right? The lavud that we need here is not the, you know, the ground coming up, but there being, you know, a tziruf between whatever is, and the gap in the ground is considered to be, you know, filled in. That's the level that we require here. But the point is that that's why if the shulayim are towards the ground, you know, that's certainly not going to help you. That's not even an issue here. But if the, you know, if the top is faced towards the ground, then why should we care whether the mechitzos are asuyos, you know, for bifnim or bachutz, right? In theory, you know, you still could draw that invisible line and it would complete, you know, the mechitzos. Right. So here's where the Gemara is telling us that in addition to lavud not just being the ground going up, it's the filling into the gap, and you only fill in the gap betoras mechitza. So what will happen in general, and let's say you have a kli which is, you know, where the mechitzas are not going to protect the inside, but to expand the inside, then maybe you would. Is the Gemara here saying you can never extend mechitzos through lavud? Right? Is the Gemara just saying literally, you know, these mechitzas are latochan? Are all mechitzas latochan asuyas? What I'm asking, or these mechitzos are latochan asuyas? But Luyitzur, you had mechitzos where you'd want to extend them, and they're not latochan, they're for keeping things out, or etc. You know, would you really actually apply? Would you apply this particular halacha, or not? Okay. The Magen Avraham, this some of the Achronim point out in the back, also in the Kutei Mefarshim in the back of the Gemara. The Magen Avraham in Tavkuf Beis, Sifkat and Tes, does make this distinction. It says Rav Ashi's Chiddush is only things like a Kaveres, but a Mechitza, which is, you know, Mechuvan to the Chutz and not for the Pnim, in Achanami you will say Labud and extend the Mechitza. Okay. could be that the Gemara itself was not talking about kaberes per se, it was saying all mechitzos are letochan asuyos. It's a way of saying you can't extend a mechitza through lavud. It's just not considered to be a gap. And that's if you have a mechitza, which is 10, and it's, you know, within 3 tfachim of the ground, so the ground goes up, or maybe even the mechitzos then will extend. But you can't create mechitzos through lavud. Anybody have that? I think it's Tuf Kuf. You have the Bar Ilan, right?
Yeah.
So if this happens, Tuf Kuf base, I think that's what I wrote down. 502, Sif Katan 9, or Tess.
Well, and it would be
Sif Katan and Tess and whatever. Yeah, I think so. If you can't find it, we'll just take a stab at it for a second and then.
It's a little long.
It's probably
somewhere in here. Do you
check
for it?
If you see it quickly. It's all, the whole thing is when we do it on.
I'm reading Bolavud in Lo Bidavar Shem Mechitos Asuyos Lenania Davar Pesoko.
Ah. Yeah. But then he also adds that only if it's Dalad Al Dalad, right?
No,
he says even like okay. So that's the other thing I wanted to add, and that's the machlokes between Rashi and Tosis here, because
yeah.
Rashi implies that, you know, in terms of even if you don't have dalet al dalet, but you could still use the yud, you know, for let's say makom patur or carmelis, right? And Tosis here says
he's quoting Rashi.
That's Rashi.
Right.
Yeah. And Tosis here says what? Shivu machza patur dikshemagia sa mechitza sokim ye sham mechitza sasor levana shulayim. Varehu rishasayachid v'chashiv kenoch ba'osa shav v'shuv enim eskay v'afagav de lachar mikeno v'la'aretz v'batum en rishasayachid nasa kemunach rishasarabim. Aval ena racha vav afilu zayinu machza chayiv d'lo min elavad ele b'mechitza so mechitza slo chashivi ele kashyeh sham racha v'dalet. Alvakashena Rachav Dalid, Harev Kishar Chafatzim, the Alma, Velorminan Lavud. Right? So some interesting machokas between Rashi and Tosis here. And this, what Tosis says here, they kind of already start saying in Dibur Masl Kafal Pia, which I'll explain in just a second, fill in all the Tosis in. Basically, Rashi's view is that even without Dalid al Dalid, right, aside from the problem of Mechitzas Latoch, Asuyos, you would say lavud, even without dalet al dalet, to extend the mechitzas. So is, and Tosis disagrees. So is that a machlokas? Does that go on the dalet al dalet list? Or on the lavud list? I would put it on both. Meaning, is it a machlokas, another machlokas, whether without dalet al dalet, right, the, you know, Dalet al Dalet isn't just a condition. Dalet al Dalet is a shear in the Chetzah Shal Mechitza. Everybody agrees that you only say Lavud when you have a Mechitza and a Mechitza Chashuva, and so on. But you can't have, well, that's part of Reb Chaim's Chakira too, but it's, you know, it's rooted in Rishonim, right, the big piece of Reb Chaim in Perek Dalet, of the Shabbos, that if you think that Dalet al Dalet isn't just the width or a condition or airspace inside, but you can't have Mechitzos without the, you know, without the width, you know, maybe that's connected to, you know, whether or not it's inclusive or exclusive. So then what we're saying here is that Rashi holds that Dalet al Dalet is a condition for Shasa Yachid, but you can have Mechitzas without Dalet al Dalet. It's not a Shir in Mechitza. It's a Shir in Shasa Yachid. Right? And Tosis holds that Dalet al Dalet is a din in Mechitzos. But they both agree that you don't say lavud unless you have machitzos chashuvos. Or no. Even Rashi agrees that dalet al dalet is an important condition in machitzos, or at least in machitzos chashuvos. He just thinks that, okay, you don't say lavud, you know, just to, you don't bring up the earth, and you don't just say lavud indiscriminately. But, you know, if you have any kind of machitza, even if it is a machitza chashuva, or, you know, anything where the gova makes a difference, which it does obviously in this case, so you say lavud, it's a lavud issue, basically. So again, Tosis here is l'shitasam, it's hard to know what Rashi holds, in the previous Tosas. Right, in the previous Tosas, Tosas says what? Kafa al Pia? I mean, Adav, go ahead. Yeah, he's already anticipating that it has to be Shisha. Go ahead. Oh, he's saying, why not say there's also the Shulayim? Right? The answer is no. Debina Mechitza Roa. It's Abra Kli Shehe Gavoa Yud. But then he says that, but that's not true. Because Afa Gav. There we say what? That if you have 10, if you have real 10, with the Shulayim, you can carry on the Rishus Yachid on top. Right? Not necessarily inside, but on top. So we kind of do count the, right? The Shulayim and the, so what's the difference? The Kivud Al Gabo Rishus Yachid Fatur. Yeah. So saying Shulayim Lamata, you don't say Lavud is one thing, but when it's Kafal P al Piv, right? So then, you know, the likelihood of saying Lavud is much greater, obviously. To say then that there's a difference between, you know, counting the Shulayim and not counting the Shulayim is a much bigger chiddush than what Rashi says about the Shulayim being facing the ground, right? So the point I'm trying to make is that when, in light of the next Tosas, basically what Tosas is saying is that in order to really say Lavud, to extend a Mechitza, it has to be a Mechitza Chashuva. So a Mechitza which, you know, is only a Mechitza Le'inyan Lamala, not a Mechitza Le'inyan Toch, that doesn't qualify. That's not the quality of Mechitza that you could say Lavud for. But, again, it's just hard to know what point Rashi disagrees with. Okay? So that is in terms of the Sugya of Kaver. There's much more to talk about, but at least in terms of the Gemara Rashi tells us. It was just a good way also of bringing in a lot of the issues that we've discussed. So I want to take one other, before I get back to Erevin for a couple more minutes, because that's just, you know, massive and we're really limited there. I just want to speak about Askupa for another minute or two as well. Because that too relates to the questions of Dalet al Dalet and, you know, whether closing a door, you know, affects Dalet al Dalet and Kiruyo, and just want to talk about that for a couple of minutes as well. That's the only Gemara that we really didn't do also. So Ellie, you want to do the honors? Acher Momrim? I think we did everything else, right? So Azir Dekana we did the Rashi and Tosas, the Ramban and the Meiri and the Ravid and the, you know, both Ramban here and the Ramban in Ksubas and Megarer, and that we kind of did. What else was there here? Yeah, I mean the Motzi, Ma'avachevitz Mitzchilas Dal Sof Dal B'Shis Rab Ma'pishavir Derech Olav. We did. So yeah, I think the only thing that we really didn't do was this one Acher Momrim. So what is it? What's it going on? What?
I'm still trying
to find it. On top of Tesla Medallah. I just want to speak about it for a couple of minutes. There's a lot to talk about here also, but just to mention a couple of things quickly.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. So what is that? It matters whether the doors are open. Okay. Strange. Meaning the doors... Why should doors being open or closed have impact on anything? Well, I mean, if the doors are the mechitza, then we understand very well, like, you know, we'll get to that in a second when we get back to the Erevin, hopefully. That is like, you know, glossos nidolos, you know, bayom, glossos nidolos balayla, glossos that are there but aren't closed. Well, fine, if you're using them as the mechitza. But are we talking about using the doors as a mechitza here? On the contrary, we're saying if the doors are open, it's better. What?
Yeah, seemingly not.
Right? I mean, if you're using the doors as a mechitza, then it's better that they should be closed. We're talking about the doors being open, you know, being an expansion of the area that you can use. Right? Open to what? So that's the question also, right? Open to mavui, let's say. Right? So what is this halacha? That's what we want to try to figure out. We want to try to figure out whether or not, basically, whether A, the opening of doors is a question in life, you know, whether the opening of doors expands, the influence, let's say, of matirim in hotzah, or you know, in usable rishos, just the expansion itself, the expansiveness itself, and maybe because it highlights or you know, triggers the chalos, let's say, of a matir or a mechitza or a machshir, etc. That's one way to look, one thing to look for. In that sense, the opening of doors is the chiddush. I mean, you have something which is mitzumtzam, seemingly based on its structure, and I say that's why it's a hashkafa isha too, right? And by, you know, putting in the perspective of an expansion, right, it somehow allows us to perceive it a different way and to, you know, to extend the influence or the exerted influence of the machshir, that's one. Or in the opposite direction, is the chiddush not so much, you know, the psichas hadlosos, but the problem is the ilas hadlosos. Let's say you have a space which per se, you know, is sufficient, has the measurements, dimensions, better way to say it, you know, to be matir or machshir or whatever, right? So is closing the door alter that? Does like cutting off, you know, some of the usable space, you know, change that? Let's say dalet al dalet. So you have dalet al dalet, and your memayit the dalet al dalet by closing it. Does closing a door change dalet al dalet when the dalet al dalet is there? You open up the door, the dalet al dalet is back. Right. So that's both. That's a dalet al dalet issue. Okay, so let's look just very quickly. That's kind of what there is to think about, right? The expansiveness of door opening and the, you know, limiting of door closing. It, two different issues to think about. Okay. So acherim omrim askupa mishamesh shnei rishuyos. Right? Imagine pesach pasuach kilufnim pesach no kilachot. The important thing is that this gemara is this brisa is telling us that open and closed doors matter. And we might have thought that they don't matter. They only matter when we need the doors to be closed for a mechitza. And even then, that's an Eruvin question too, right? If you have doors, you know, does it matter if they're closed? Maybe a Pesach, that's a little bit of our Eruvin questions, right? A Pesach is also a mechitza, or at least it's not a pirtza. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the exact opposite right now, right? We're talking about the door closing being a problem. Okay, go ahead. Alpha Gav, so the Gemara says Alpha Gav Delesle Lechi. What's the question?
That even though there's no Lechi, it's still going to be Lechi.
He's worried about the door being open. Right, if the doors are open, it sounds like you can use the Askupa. The Askupa is what, by the way? It's like a stoop, right? Stoop? Is that the right word?
It's the threshold.
Threshold. Okay. So so you can use this. You can use it if the doors are open, but the problem is if the lachi. Go ahead. Bar Rav Kama
Bar Gruy Amarav Tocha Pesach
Tarech Lachi Acher Latiro. I mean, if you have a lachi on the inside of the and it's not towards Rishus HaRabim, but towards the Mavui, right, you still need a lechi to use the askupa. Even though the lechi, let's say the lechi is our door, so, or a wall, so it covers the whole thing, but we, according to the Gemara in Erevin, it only is considered a lechi for the inside. In other words, it starts from the pnimi, the chudo apnimi, right? So this shouldn't work at all, even if it's open, the Gemara says. Go ahead. The chitaima, I mean, the askupa doesn't have, or there's no dalet al dalet space. Right. Even with mean if both have a mean that if you have dalet al dalet, if you have dalet al dalet, then you need a lechi achar latiro because it's a rishus bifnei atzmo. So the lechi vis-a-vis the mavui isn't enough. Right, but if it's anyways not dalet al dalet, so it's just like agav, the other lechi, it should work. The Gemara says it's not true. You need a lechi on the outside. Right? Go ahead. So what's the case? You have to be a good visualizer here. Which I. Basically, you have
an inner half of width.
On the askupa, in other words, let's say this is the mavui, and this is the askupa, and this is the Rosh Hashanah, right? I think this is what's going on. So on the inner part of the askupa, right, there's a korah on top, right? But it doesn't cover the whole thing. So the point is that when the doors are open, and it's the, in other words, you're facing the inside of the mabui, right? Then everything is good. It's more a question what that means. And when it's closed, you're restricted. Right? That's what the Gemara says. Biskupa mabui askina chetzi makura v'chetzi sheina makura. The kiruyo klape pnim. So Pesach pasuach is kilifnim. Pesach no kilichutz. Okay. And Rav Ashi says no. The olam gahed baskupas bayis askinan.
The olam baskupas bayis askinan. The olam shakira.
The shtei kiro koros. The
shtei koros. Sheim bazu arba. Veim bazu arba. Veim bein bazu shlosha. The delas beemza. Pesach pasuach gilifnim. Pesach no gilichutz.
Yeah. So the second case we'll look at. In the second case is where you have a door in the lavud, basically, and you want to use lavud to be mitzaref, dalet al dalet, right? For a Rosh Hashayachid, basically. Okay. So just very, very quickly, just to, did you were you able to prepare this or not?
No, I didn't.
Not so. Anybody? I just want to make sure we do the Shabbos part first, but I'll get the Pasuk Rosh in a minute. Okay, so I'm not going to, we won't go into detail. I'll just tell you the basic issue to think about, and that is, I think I did say we're going to do Kaveris on the end, right? Till left S?
I don't know. The first thing that I think, I don't know.
I thought I told the order because I wanted to make sure that I got it.
And the Ravan Balmor.
Yeah.
Last
yeah. Yeah.
So
okay. Okay. So we'll get that in a second. So basically, the but again, you know, I haven't.
It was the internet again.
No. It's my. I take the blame. But I guess when there's manum or not, whatever. So it's, you know, it all gets a little more discombobulated. So basically, just the. But I definitely told you I wanted to get the stuff until Tessa Bala, right? That I for sure remember. Okay, I thought I made it clearer also that I wanted to do that first because I wanted to make sure we close the books on that. But okay, so Rashi's Shita is very restrictive in both directions, the opening and the closing. Just to make it clear for one more minute, Rashi's Shita is when the door is open. You can still only use the stuff, the area of the korah, under the korah. when the door is not open, that's restricted. When the door is not open, you can't even use the area under the korah. Because since the door is closed, so you don't have the hemsheikh, let's say, from inside the mabui, and you don't have a korah on the rest, let's say, of the dalet al dalet of the askupa either. So basically, Rashi's view is even the mekura part is considered to be lacking dalet al dalet, and you can't use it. Okay. The Balamor and most Rishonim disagree. Balamor disagrees in both directions. Balamor's view is that when the doors are open, you can carry even on the outside of the Makura, just by virtue of the fact that the Makura is matir and is mitsuraf to the mavui that it's mitake. And since the Makura, right, is makshir, the mavui on the inside, so it's considered to be enough of a chalos that the entire askupa, right, is considered to be mitukan, right, by even the outside, even outside of the makura. That's basically very expansive. And his view is that even when the doors are closed, his view in Balamor's view, and not some of the other Rishonim, is that when we talk about the doors being closed, we mean the door that's in between. There's a door that's in between the part that's Makura and the part that's not on the Askupa. But his view is, under those conditions, you could still carry under the Makura. Okay. Other Rishonim go even further, again the Ra'ah and the Ran and so on, and suggest even if the door isn't in between the two sections, let's say the door is between the Makura part and the Mabui, even then, if the door is closed, you're still able, right, to carry under the Makura part, and you can basically borrow the dalet al dalet of the askupa. Okay. So all I really wanted to say in all of this is that you have, without going into this much more, speak into the details, but it's not really fair. So what I want to say is that there's a major machlokas Rishonim here about whether tziruf to makom dalet al dalet is sufficient, right? Or you actually need dalet al dalet to be physically contained inside of the makom hechsher. It could also be a question of how the hechsher of korah works. That's not for now, but at least that's the basic idea. Okay. That's one issue. I should also add that Tosis Shonim here, Alatar, is mechalek between Lechi and Korah. He says, according to Rashi, Dafka, in the case of Korah, you can't carry under, even under the Korah, because you don't have sufficiently Dalet al Dalet, right, if the door is closed. But if you had a Lechi, right, that would work even for the part, even if the door is closed. And then you'd be able to carry even without the dalet al dalet. Apparently the lechi would be considered enough of a mechitza, of a real mechitza, right, to have a more expansive koach to be matir. Okay. So that's one issue. The other issue I wanted to mention very quickly, which also comes up, is whether the door let's say the Askupas Abayis, what's the second case? Askupas Abayis, right? And the Gemara says the case of Askupas Abayis is a case where you have two Korahs, right? And you have less, neither one which is Dalit, and you have less than Gimel Avud in between. So the rule is that when the door is open, that is Mitzaref, both of them, and then you have Dalit al Dalit, and the Korah, and you can carry there. And if the door is closed, it's Chotzeitz. So Rashi takes the view that that's true because there are two Korahs. But if there would be one Korah and there would be a door in between the Korah, right, that would not be a problem. Why? Because there you don't require Lavud. Per se, a door wouldn't break up the Dalit al Dalit. Right, of the Korah. It's only where you're employing Lavud, right, in order to be Mitzarif between two Korahs, that the door breaks it up. So I just want to point out, that's another great example how Lavud, right, is very tentative. And it depends on the quality of the Tziruf and the Mechitza. The Baal HaMor disagrees. Baal HaMor says it doesn't really make a difference. A door is chotzeitz bifnei dalid, right? Even if it's a single korah, right, which itself is dalid al dalid. So again, that I think is an interesting double argument. On the one hand, maybe he wants to avoid being mechalek between the tziruf of lavud and korah itself. At the same time, he seems to be disagreeing with Rashi in the effect that a door would have in breaking up Dalid, even if the, you know, area is there. Now, if there is a continuous Dalid al Dalid, it's just Nifsak or Nichtzatz al Yedei, the door. Yeah.
So just regarding to the Shannon, go back to one. So this might be a double question, but I just saw a Rashi today in Erevin, where he talks about the Lechi, Fi, Shittas, Rabbi Yehuda, and Chachamim really counts as a Mechitza.
Right.
Says that it's a gerua that could be mabatal l'idei pikeis
arabi. Right.
But that would fit very well with what Rashi said here, that a lechi is more powerful than just being a hacker.
Exactly. That's kind of what we're saying. He seems to think that there's a qualitative difference between lechi and korah, which of course has a lot of roots in sugis and eruvin. But even if we think that both of them work, they work in different ways. Therefore, okay, so that's what I wanted to mention. There's much more, obviously, to talk about through that text. Now let's get back to Pasi B'Ros. Okay, I don't have so much time, but... So number one, I want to expand on the first point. We're trying to explain in Pasi B'Ros how, you know, there's really two issues to confront. One is the question of Paritz Merubah La'omei, and the second is the question of... B'kiyas Arabi. So with regard to the question of the first question of Paritz Merubah La'omeid, mentioned that seems to be a machlokas arishonim, and you get different impressions already within different views even in Tosas. I mentioned the Tosas on Yilchesim Aleph. What does that say?
Zion of Beis.
Well, there's one in Zion of Beis. What's the one in Zion of Beis?
Zion of Beis just says that normally we would say that Paritz Merubah La'omeid is a problem. Because there'd be a four mechitzos, amam mizeh, it makes it into psachim instead of pirtos.
Correct. So that tosis, that's the first one in the perek, right? Osin arba diumdin. It's right after the previous tosis, which was about what's previous relationship between tkumen and
chotzah.
The design of this. So osin arba diumdin, right? Had amar la'el. Hachi Agmer Achmad Lamosha Lo Tifrat Zruba, I know Hechid the Lake Hashem Dalad Mechitzas Kiyacha. The whole Mika Bekol Tzad Ama, the whole Tzad Ama Mikan, the Ama Mikan, Koshiv Pesach. Right. So basically, what he seems to be saying is similar to what we talked about in, you know, some of the perspectives on Tzuras of Pesach, right? And that is that even though there is Pirtzas, the Pirtzas are not a problem if it's a Pesach. So the Dalid basically dictate, when there's Dalid, he's suggesting, then everything else turns into a Pesach. So this Tosa seems to assume that the Arba pasi biros, the diyumdin here are real mechitzos, right? And they're metakein, you know, what is open. Either they're metakein because one way is to say kind of a love with that it's all as if it's stopped up. That he doesn't say, Tosas. What he does say is that it turns everything else into a Pesach. And that's what Rashi earlier in Eruvin also says, Dapid Aleph, I think. Rashi has that view. Also that the spaces in between the Diyumdin are considered to be a Pesach. Correct? Tosas on Yud Chesum and Aleph, on the other hand, see that one? That's what I mentioned the other time. Has a bit of a different formulation. Tosas here is talking about the relationship between Shayara and the Aliyah L'Regel, you know, Pasi Biros. The Yishlomer D'Gabe Sheyara Ho V'Nasa L'Tzorach Shola Have a Choshev Mukaf L'Dira Inami Gabi Olam Regal Mekilu V'Echshivu Pasin Kemo Mechitza Gemura Kemo Shekilu L'Inyan Paritz Meruba Al Ha'Omeid. This sounds a little bit different. Here it sounds like he's saying not only that the Pasi Broin are four, and therefore everything else is a Pesach. Maybe that's what he means. Hard to say. But he seems to be emphasizing more even that what? Yeah, because it's really considered to be Omeid. Hichshivu Pasin Kamo Mechitza. Because before he was emphasizing the Ardalid. And therefore, whatever there isn't is a Pesach. Here he's saying, right, the pasin are mechitzos, and it's like that it's omeid, it's not parutz. Yeah. The Rajba, on the other hand, I mentioned to look at. Did you get a chance to? Anybody have a language of the Rajba? The Rajba starts off like Tosis on Yud Zayin Oid Beis, but he critically is missing what?
The Pesach
piece. If anybody has the language, it's just good to...
Yeah.
He asks a question.
Yeah.
And then he quotes the Ravid. What's the Ravid?
The Ravid is...
Well, big Kiddush, right? The Din of Paritz Merubah Al-Omeid is only... Rabban. Okay. So it's only Rabbanon, so... Pasi Biros, they disposed of it. What's his own answer? He attributes to Tosis, but Tosis, I say, really pretty much says that this is a Pesach and therefore it's not a Pirtza. The Rajba seems to be explaining why the rule of Pirtza Merubah Al-Omeid doesn't apply. And he seems to be saying that the reason is because there are four. Right? So what impression do we get from the Rajba? I think it's a little more explicit even in the Ritva.
As long as you have four mechitzos, pirtos don't matter.
It's the hekef mokom, basically. In other words, it's not what Tosis was saying, certainly not what Tosis seemed to be saying on Yud Chesam and Aleph, and not even what Tosis is saying on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, both of which are to explain there are no... Tosis, again, I'm not sure, but just in the language, Tosan Yud Chesam and Aleph seems to be saying that, you know, Pasi Biros are Mechitzas Gemuros. Not just the Diyumdin, I mean the whole, and Yud Zayin Amud Beis is saying, oh, it turns the others into Pesach. Here he's not saying that. He's saying there's no Chisaron of Parutz Meruba Al Ha'ome. So the Achronim, including the guy in the footnotes in the Moser of Kook Rajba, has a long, 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 long arichus, where they suggest all sorts of interesting nafgamina, where maybe Pasi Biros, if you take this view that Pasi Biros are not considered mechitzos, but because there are four of them and they work in a slightly different way, that we don't care about Pirtza Meruba Al-Omeid, that it's, but we were trying to explain, it's this idea of hekef hamakom, outside. They're not inside mechitzos, but they're outside mechitzos in the sense that they demarcate and they set off, you know, from Rishus HaRabim, that maybe there are all sorts of nafgamina, and he quotes a lot of achronim to that effect. So, for example, I wrote down a few of them. It all starts with the language of a lot of Rishonim, which is that, like, why do you need Dalet Diyumdei? Right. Again, if you hold, like, the Rambam holds it in general, Rishus HaYakid basically requires Dalet Mechitzos, fine. But, you know, if you, the Pashtus and most Rishonim, that Gimel Mechitzos are sufficient, so why not Gimel Diyumdei? But it seems like everybody agrees that Gimel Diyumdei is nothing, zero. Right. So, the idea may be that, you know, because this is a whole different method, right, of creating a Rosh Hashayachid, right? If you're going to create a Rosh Hashayachid through mechitzos, then it's sufficient to have gimel. But if you're going to do it by, you know, cordoning it off from Rosh Hasharabim, or the effect, let's say, of Hekef Malkom, so then you need four. So that, of course, is a chumrah. But then the question is, it may be a chumrah, which is, you know, maybe Lidei Kulas, including, if that's really what he means, we don't have to worry anymore about, you know, Pirtza Meruba Mina Omeid, because that's just when you're dealing with, you know, real Mechitzos. This isn't about Mechitzos, it's about, you know, Hamakom Mukaf Umuvdal. So if that's the case, you're going to have a tremendous Kula in that respect. Another Kula is going to be the size of the in-betweens, right? So normally, that should be what? Usually. Yeah. Should be 10. And what is it in the Diyumdei, between the Diyumdei of the Pasi Biros? 13 and a third. Right? I mean, you could say 13 and a half, but then you'd really probably be just loch hush vadayek. But only lechomra, not lekula.
Only when there's a kavera on the inside.
Or if there's a kavera on the inside, which is why you can't, you know, even if you thought that I was telling you to prepare pasi biros before kaveras, you know, it just can't be done. Okay. But, yeah. And still, I'm going to accept the bad management responsibility. Okay. So, yeah, so this also helps us a lot to understand, but also to be, you know, more impressed with or more challenged by, you know, the migu question, because the Gemara does apply, you know, migu to have a, you know, dofen, you know, or mechitza or whatever it is leinyan Shabbos to the use of pasi biros in sukkah. So we know that there, you know, tends to be limits in Achshavei. Again, you know, the Ramban on the Dalet al Dalet is a great example of that, right? Not every Achshavei, you know, that you can think of works. Even every objective Achshavei doesn't necessarily work, right? So it's just very fascinating that you need a kind of Achshavei, or Migu is a kind of an Achshavei, that you need it is one issue. Why do you need it? Why say Migu to have a Dofen Linyan Shabbos have of Dofen Linyan Sukkah? It's kind of like you're, you know, it's a catch 22 kind of a thing. You know, unless you say, oh, the Drabanan, but, you know, Ukma Daraisa, end of story. That's all it means. But if it means more than that, and it sounds like more than that, so you're always, you know, pressed a little bit. Why do you need it? It sounds like you only need it if objectively this isn't a Dofen Linyan Sukkah, right? But then, of course, you know, the stronger the case that you make for that, you know, then you put more pressure on yourself to say, okay, but then maybe it really shouldn't work. Right? So pasi biros, you know, for one group as opposed to another group, is going to be, you know, a classic example of that. If we're going to say pasi biros al pidin, because it's an extra mechitza, or whatever, you know, or that's how mechitzas always work, so it's a regular mechitza, and, you know, it's not an exception in the size of the pirtza or the pirtza meruba la omeid or any of those things. It's a mechitza, you just didn't realize it. Appreciate that it's a mechitza. So then the migu, you know, is more, why do you need a migu is a problem. It's a mechitza. Right? On the other hand, if you take the view that, oh, it's an exception, lekula, lechumra, it's a different perspective on cordoning off Rosh Hasharabim, okay, that's great. What's it got to do with sukkah? So why you need the migu? We understand that. But why is it good enough to be a dofen sukkah? that becomes more of an issue. That's where the Akshave is very mechudash. But either way, the point is that there are benefits to each perspective. If you hold like this view of the Rajba and the Ritva, the need for that kind of amigu is better explained. How it works is a little more more of a challenge. Okay. So some of the Akronim also suggest, I don't think this is clear in the Rishonim at all, and that is that the, but again, it'll highlight, you know, good stuff for us. The Gemara in Shabbos on Sadi Tesumid Beis, right, which said, you know, how can the Mechitza itself be a Rishis HaYachid if it doesn't have Dalet al Dalet? And then the Gemara's conclusion, right, La'acherim, you know, if it's Makif, the Acherim, then La'atzmo, La'kol Shekein. So, you don't have a minion, right? When do they daven downstairs?
10:33, but
there are other minyanim.
There are other minyanim.
Okay. Everybody agrees there are other minyanim? Okay. I won't keep it too much longer, anyway, but at least let's talk about this part of it.
Next season at 4:20, so we can go into
that. I'd love to. Unfortunately, I have a... Maybe we'll meet again later. Some of the Chronim suggests, I think he quotes this as well, that maybe the din of, you know, can you use the Pasi Biros as a Rosh HaYachid itself? Right? Can you put the water or whatever it is on top of the Pasi Biros? Has anybody done it before? Well, Hanan's an Aliyah L'Regal person. You ever used Pasi Biros on your way to the...
over the Atlantic Ocean.
What?
Over the ocean. On my way over there as well.
Exactly. I don't mean to do it over the ocean, but...
No.
I just thought, you know, when you're in Yerushalayim and you're on your way to the Kotel and you stop off for, like, a drink at the Pasi Biros, or when you're taking your, you know... Do you actually put something, can you put the stuff on top of the Pasi Biros or only inside? In other words, maybe Mechitza La'atzma La'kol Shekein doesn't apply. Well, big chiddush, because it isn't really a Mechitza, it's just an enclosure. Right? Actually, that part of it is a little ironic, but I like it. Right. What's ironic about it? A little bit ironic.
I would have thought it still has
No, yeah. I mean, the, you could be cholek is clear. I mean, there's no question about that. But the even with a little bit of an irony, not too much.
Because in a sense, there that's where you most of the svarah of la'atz amigo to give it the status.
Oh, I mean that you need it more.
And at the same,
but it depends what it means.
The same tension that we were talking about in terms of the dofen la'inyan sukkah.
Right, in a way, but that part depends on whether or not, you know, the mechitza like kol shekein is a kind of amigo and it really shouldn't otherwise, which we talked about also, or it's really just another way of saying, what are you talking about? This is the mechitza, of course. Right. So that part, not so, but what I thought was a little ironic about it, and only a little, is that in a way, this perspective is basically saying, there are no mechitzas here. So what is this about? It's the hekev mokum, but is the hekev mokum inside, or is it the muka from the outside? In a way, being muka from the outside starts the wall, like, you know, not on the inside, but on the outside. Okay, but I'm not so sure. Maybe it is muka just on the inside. But either way, the point is it's not a wall, so it's, that's what I meant by the little iron. Okay. So that is interesting. There are those who suggest that... that the din of good asik mechitza will not apply for pasi biros, right? Now the Ramban clearly doesn't hold that way. The Ramban and Eruv get the same piece, right? In the Mechalmos. Didn't mention it there. I thought it was that one in the beginning of in Bav Med Aleph in the Daf Erif, in Eruv, or is this Chesam Med Aleph? Ours is Chesam Med Aleph. Either way,
the
okay.
One, the one on the Mishnah and Chafetz?
What?
The one on the Mishnah
and Chafetz? Doesn't mention there, or that's the one, maybe the one before. So the Ramban says explicitly that Pasi Biros has a din of good Asik Mechitza. Again, so Reb Chaim thought that good Asik doesn't really apply in Shabbos, you know, either. Okay. But either way, that's an interesting, again, the point is, that part of it, I think, makes a lot of sense. In other words, pasi biros, you know, if it's not really a mechitza, it's just a hekef makom, whether it's an outside hekef, or from the outside, or within the inside. But, you know, again, for the same reason you would say, again, you could certainly be mechalik, even if you didn't say, you know, la'chei remosa le'atzma l'kol shekein, but to say that it's not a mechitza that you should apply good asik to, makes sense. What would you say about this? Might be a very good, just to, again, related to things that we've been discussing, it might be a good way of testing Rosh Hashayachid, you know, Ola Ad L'Rakia, right? If you assume that Pasi Biros wasn't really a Mechitzas and there was no good Asik, right, is it still considered Chetzesh or Chalos Rosh Hashayachid Legabe that Halacha? Right? That's an interesting question too. That they don't mention, but. Again, whether or not kibbutz hutra hutra, there are all sorts of dinim of, you know, eruv kibbutz hutra hutra. Many of them are only drabanan, but you know, being mitzaref, you know, lavud, you know, in mechitzas or extending through lavud. A lot of these other issues. Point is that you might be mechalek, and you might say there's a difference between a real chafzah shel mechitza and this halacha. Okay, so that's one issue I wanted to mention. The other issue is the question of Bikiyas HaRabin. And here's where you confront the problem that the Gemara already discusses, namely, Rabbi?
The Mishnah, meaning the stira between Rabbi Yehuda.
The stira of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanah. Just read that, if you don't mind, very quickly. What's that's the sugyan? That part is the sugyan. What is it? Chaf Beis Amid Aleph, right? So go ahead. That's the what our Gemara quotes here as well in Shabbos, Omen Beis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer.
So Rabbi Review, oh, from the Mishnah?
Yeah, it's very quickly.
Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mahaya Derech, which is the Rabbin, the Sakasa, and the Sakan, the Stadin. Kamaro, Mahaya Tzarech.
Yeah, so what's that? It sounds like what's the Machlokas?
Whether Bikiyas HaRabin will get rid of the Pasi Biros.
Well, the Bikiyas HaRabin will get rid of Pasi Biros. And the question is this a question in general, or about Pasi Biros, and if so, in which direction? Meaning, is it a question in general whether or not if you have a technical mechitza, right, whether that is undermined by Bikiyas HaRabin? That's an interesting question. You have structure versus the functionality of Rosh Hashanah. You have the structure of Rosh Hashanah and the functionality of Rosh Hashanah. Maybe one way to look at it, right? There could be various reasons, you know, why it does or doesn't work based on that, like in terms of the hagdara of that structure, or maybe you have both. You have Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah together. It's always Rosh Hashanah, or is it always Rosh Hashanah? Right? There could be various ways to explain, you know, what that dynamic really is all about, in terms of hagdara, or in terms of, you know, the clash of different chaloses. Right. But either way, that's one way to look at it. In which case, again, certainly if it's a din of Rosh HaRabim versus Rosh HaYachid, or having them both together, or what impact one has on the other, so then one would think that whatever tikkunim work are subject to this, right? Whether it's Chefza Shel Mechitza, or it's Hekef Makom, or whatever it is, you know, you always have to weigh what happens when you have Bikiyas HaRabim in a structure of a Rosh HaYachid. On the other hand, if we say that there's more than one type of Rosh Hashayachid, or if we say that Bikiyas HaRabin is an issue, not in the clash of Rosh Hashayachid and Rosh Hashayachid, but in the actual mechanism of creating Rosh Hashayachid, namely Chetzah Shel Mechitza, right? So then you can be Mechalek. But here you can be Mechalek, as we noted last time, ironically, again, in either direction. You would initially think, if you're just, you know, a straight linear thinker, that and nothing wrong with that, right? I mean, we should start off that way, I guess. That the more the mechitza is considered to be a gush, meaning a real mamish mechitza, that, you know, the more the stronger it is, the more formidable it is, the more it can withstand Bikiyas HaRabin, because you have chafzah shel mechitza. You have these more flimsy or you know, abstract, you know, alpidin kind of mechitzos, so maybe they're more vulnerable because they're not as concrete, and you know, if people are, you know, if they don't look like a mechitza, they don't, you know, when you bang against them, they don't feel like a mechitza, and they also don't keep anything out. So, in what sense are they a mechitza? And that's certainly an important perspective, and certainly a perspective. That's the default perspective you would start out with if you're going to make chilukim. But as we, you know, have often pointed out, sometimes things don't work out that way. They go the other way. In other words, a physical mechitza is defined in terms of its physical capacity and is more subject to breaches, you know, pirtzas, you know, both on a formalistic level and on a pragmatic level, right? If it's a gush, really, it's a, you know, a block of some sort. So what kind of block, you know, doesn't keep things out? But the more we're not really trying to simulate a physical mechitza, but we're talking about some sort of enclosure or you know, cordoning off, you know, etc., something that sets this apart. It's not, you know, part of the environment around it. So there you might say, well, practical things like, you know, bekias, harabim, or gedim, or whatever they are, you know, don't really affect you. Right. So these are the, I guess, the options available to you. So what does the Gemara say about all of this? Go ahead, Robbie. Let's take another 5 minutes. And
so Yochanan Rebbe Lazar Damer Kavayu. Kano Dirchel and Kofen Shechel Mechitzes. So Kano Visvirlei. Rabbi 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 Chanan Rebbe Yochanan. Yushalayim Amalei Delosan Nimi Olos Bilayla. Chayven Alam Yishem Rosh Sarabim.
Yeah.
Ala Kan Velos Virlei.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what's that all about?
So,
well, first of all, the Gemara starts off very fascinating. Kan Hodiacha Kokon Shom Mechitzas. Right, just the language alone. Again, you know, we're not learning Eruvin right now, but you have to, like, store up these statements, you know, do a lot of work with them. Like, the Gemara seems to start off by saying, number one, again, we don't know, you know, our Lamdas doesn't necessarily follow from the Gemara's Dio Kalasha. So, but the Gemara calls Pasi Biros here Mechitzos. That's one. And number two, it seems to think that this is a clash between the Koach of a Mechitza and Bekias Rabbit. So, again, well, does that really mean, is that another way of saying Rishus? And is Mechitzas here another way of saying Hekef Mokom? Because we're talking about a physical Mechitza. We don't know. I mean, it doesn't prove much. But it's noteworthy. You know, just because things don't prove things doesn't mean they're not noteworthy. They get us thinking and sensitize us to issues, right? Okay. So then the question is, and is it true? Right?
Does Rabbi Yochanan really hold like Chachamim?
And does Rabbi Yochanan hold like the Chachamim, or does he hold like Rabbi Yehuda? So
where does this guy say really does hold the Rabbi Yehuda? He just says that. Or Chachamim,
Kaya
Diyav and Kokan Shomachitzes.
Yeah. Ela Kandalo Surli. Fine. Then the Gemara is asked the question. Rami.
Rami the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda, Rami the Rabbanan, the Rabban. Yes, okay, now Rabbi Yehuda. Mishal Yehuda, Shnei Batim, Shnei Tzidi, Rishis Rabim, Osa Lachim Mikan, Lachim Mikan, Korim Mikan, Korim Mikan, Benosim, 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 Benosim,
Marvin, right?
Right.
So what's the problem? How could Rabbi Yehuda hold it? You need two mechitzas, what we discussed. How could he hold you need two mechitzas, right? And tell you that Pasi Biros is ruined by Bikiya Sarab.
Right. Rabbi walking in between the walls.
Yeah. Then Kashid Rabbanan and Rabbanan.
The kasha of Rabbanan is that over here, all of a sudden, it seems that that the case around
the Rabban, the two walls are not enough.
And yet, by Pasi Biros, we don't care.
But Pasi Biros are okay, even if there's Bekias Rabbi. So, what's the Gemara's answer?
So, the view that the review of the Lokasha Hassan, the Kashtevich is Maliasa. Hakalay Kashtevich is Maliasa. So, the Rabbanan of Lokasha, Haka Ikasham Arba Mechitos, Hassan Lekasham Arba Mechitos.
Yeah. So, what do you make of this? His answers. What are the, how would you. So one could have just said, yeah, I mean, there's no...
So the initial answer of the Gemara with regards to Mechitzas Maliyasa is interesting, because even if you refer to Pasi Biros as Mechitzas, they're now in the same status as real...
Well, two real Mechitzas, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and Pasi Biros are different things. So then the question we have to ask ourselves is, does that mean that Pasi Biros isn't a Mechitza at all? It's more like this Hekef Mokom idea. And however, what we're saying then is, if you have real mechitzos, two real mechitzos, and even though there is Bekias Rabin, it's the linear way. In other words, but the real mechitzas at least, a flam, you know, a flimsy, you know, just legalistic mechitza, that's subject to bekiyas rabin. That's one way to read the conclusion. And the chachamim.
Right, and the chachamim, which has to do with the number, at least that first glance, just has to do with the number of walls. So it's supposed to pass the rest when we have four, you know, and a four when it comes to the case of the mabur.
Yeah. So in the chachamim, you could really say two opposite things. Right? You could say, oh, there are four walls. And the problem with two is not bekiyas rabin, even. You just don't have enough. And four is enough. And whenever you have a mechitza, koach mechitza is to zap out, is even against bekiyas rabin. Right? So then the chachamim emerge as the, you know, the people who think that pasi biros are real mechitzas. And Rabbi Yehuda emerges as the person who thinks that, you know, they're not really mechitzas. The other possibility is to go one further, meaning the Chachamim are out Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda clearly thinks that pasi biros are not midin regular mechitzos, right? But he thinks that since they're not based on regular mechitzos, therefore they're more vulnerable to bekiyas harabin. And what the Chachamim really think is dafka, because they're not subject to the regular dinum of mechitzos, that's the reason why they're immune from pasi biros. I'm sorry, from bekiyas rabin. Because if you were, again, like what we said before, if you were measuring in terms of, you know, the physical, you know, effectiveness of the mechitzos, so, you know, they're being porous, right, is a problem. But if it's just a way of saying this isn't, you know, this is removed from Rishus HaRabim, and it's mukaf, then it's not a problem. So when they say here that there are four mechitzos, what they mean is not that they're real mechitzos, but it's mukaf. Yeah. So what is the Balamor Ramban? How does that enter in?
The Balamor has a question regarding the first statement.
Regarding?
The Yochanan.
Yeah. So number one, they could, based on the Gemara earlier also, what does the Gemara say earlier?
So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan does not hold like, holds like Rabbi Yehuda and does not hold like Chachamim. But then it has the statement of Yishalayim Amalei Dilosan Olos Balayim L'chayim Olam Yishom Rishis Rab.
Oh, so wait, it's slow. So Rabbi Yochanan says, the point of the Gemara previously, it sounds like Rabbi Yochanan paskins
like Rabbi Yehuda.
So the problem is, if Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda, how is Rabbi Yochanan able to say to the Chachamim, right, that, you know, having glossos is not enough. You have to have ninolos balayla, right? That's a statement.
Should have been a rishus hayachid anyway.
It should be a rishus hayachid anyway, because he holds like
glossos are open. Balmor assumes that because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda regarding the case of Rabbi, he also must hold like Rabbi Yehuda regarding two or four walls.
Exactly. So that's the point, and this we'll end with this argument. But that's what the Balmor is assuming, that the din of bekiyas rabim and the din of two walls are the same. So then the question is, that's the initial question. So then the question is, what does that have to do with the chachamim? Right? So what does Balamor say about that?
How does he answer his question? Or?
Yeah.
So what he ends up saying is that because in Yerushalayim you have gates on all the walls, Shasi the Arabi, he says, so you have people walking through all the walls, that ruins everything, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So there are no walls, because people are just walking through it.
Okay, good. But what does he say about the line of Rabbi Yochanan? About the Ninolos? He says, that's a problem, because of that. Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda, so what does that have to do with, and the Chacham don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda, so what do they have to do with it? That's the key line of the Balamor. So what does he say about that?
I don't remember that line. He says that.
He says it. What we always like to say. Right? That's the line. Everybody have it?
Right.
Here, I have it. Oh, thank you. That's it, right? What a way to go out. But again, only because of the Kaveris.
What's
opposite of the Kaveris? Above, I thought, right? That's what I thought it was on the same. So he says here. Right, he starts off by saying, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Dami Travayu, right? Ule'el b'gemaru, kimin Rabbi Elazar kan usvir lei, right? V'hachu kimin Rabbi Yochanan kan, Rabbi Yochanan is kan v'lo svir lei. El Rabbi Yochanan k'Rabbi Yehuda savar, v'amar asu rabbi mevatli mechitzta. Right? And then he adds, u'shtei mechitzos d'oraisa. Right? V'yerushalayim el-molid l'osehu ne'ulos, even though it has two, Chayavan aleha mishum, Rishus Rabim, Dasi Rabim, Mevatla mechitzta. Mishum, the lake afilu shtei mechitzos, the pitch of Rab, that's what you said. Sharabim bokim, Shasiv Erev, right? Loya bila filu mechitza achas, Shle Rabim bokim ba, and so on. So then he says, V'hod the ma'isi raya mid Rabbi Yochanan lefarish divrei chachamim v'pirka kama tarmina v'chiteima v'kachu v'ayt delo ma'arva ha'bid lo'asel ma'arva v'om Rabbi Yochanan Yerushalayim ilu ma'umole, it's not enough to have d'losos umole d'lososeha n'ulos balayla chayav la mishum rishus harabim, right? You have to close them. Hachikamar mid Rab Yehuda nishma l'rabbanon, right? How could you forget that? Lav am Rab Yehuda kol hecha de lekem bechitzta mal yasa lo mahani d'losos. Right, adshu n'ulos. That if you really you need a mal yasa. Rabbananami kol hecha de leka mechitas mal yasa lo mahani dlasos achu nuulos. So that is a big chiddush, right? He's assuming that you can just transfer, meaning the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim have nothing to do with the quality of the mechitas or the relationship to mikias rabbin, basically, right? And what does Rambam say?
First, the Ramban totally rejects
his view of Rabbi Yochanan.
The assumption that because Rabbi Yochanan agrees regarding
Rabbi Yehuda, regarding Bikias
Rabin, he also agrees regarding
two mechitzos.
Right.
And earlier, who else disagrees with that, by the way?
The
Ravid. I don't know if they have it in the back here. In the newer Gemara, what? They don't have it here?
I don't think it was in the older Gemara.
Oh, okay, it doesn't matter. So in the old Vahal, whatever, the ones that the Gemaras that print also the Kasev Sham, the Ravid already disagrees with that. So it's not true that Rabbi Yochanan believes in two, what?
Well,
he
doesn't know.
Yeah.
He doesn't mind.
He found it.
He's not kind of happy. Can
we read the line just quickly? So that's number one. What else, Eliyahu? So that's number one. He just thinks that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't believe in two mechitzos.
Right. And he also thinks that Kiyas Rabin would never be a problem in Chomos. It would only be a problem in Pasigros.
It would only be a problem.
What he calls love, like mechitzos shall love.
Yeah, mechitzos shall, that's a good line. That's right. What we're talking about.
Yeah.
It would only be a problem in something like
Pasigros, where you're trying to fill in the area through some halachic mechanism.
Yeah. So again, the Ramban is basically going with the, you know, with the idea that the physical mechitza is less subject to the interference of Mikias Rabin than others. But as you can understand, we'll stop here, but as you can understand, the, you know, part of this Shakavataria really is based on this Midanishma, you know, Yesod. In either direction, it may just not be, may not be true. Now, it's Machlokas Shunar Yehuda, the idea that the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim, is just Machlokas, how many mechitzas you need, as opposed to how the mechitzos work, is at root of the Balamor. And in either direction, you know, it's very possible that that's just not accepted. You know, either the more physical you are, you know, the easier it is to, you know, neutralize Bikias Rabim, or in the other direction, similar to what we saw the Ritva and Erevin says about good Asik, that is that the more celestial, you know, engineering you are, actually, you know, the less you have to worry about the physical breaches, You know, physical wall is as good as its physical capacity, you know, to fortify against, and not to be porous, but to fortify against incursions. But the second that we're really dealing with, you know, a different yisod, not just, you know, an abstraction of what constitutes a chetz shel mechitza, that already could also be a place to draw the line. In other words, even if the yisod is that this is considered al pidin, a mechitza, like godasik or whatever, but, you know, we understand already that it's not, the k'nei midah is not bekiyas rabin, because it's not, it doesn't, it's not a stira to its physical properties. These are halachic properties for this chetz shel mechitza. Or do you go one further and say, as long as the abstraction is still considered to be a chetz shel mechitza, so the issue of bekiyas rabim isn't the physical clash; it's also in the effect. But the more that you that I think has a lot of foundation to it, the more that we're talking about not a physical mechitza at all, but something which just demarcates, you know, a different rishus, then as far as that is concerned, again, either you're going to take the view that bekiyas rabim is a total steerer to that, or you're going to take the view that it's totally not a steerer to it, because it's just about, I mean, the people can come, people can go, it's still not part of the, it's still not integrated, you know, in a seamless way into the surroundings of rishus rabim. Again, might be all sorts of other nafkamina, like what we were talking about before, in terms of gudasvik and, you know, kol shekain, and you know, and hutra, kivcha hutra hutra, and having the mechitza ready the day before, and all sorts of other nafkamina, lekula and lechomra, that we would expect. But the point is, it's going to be a very different kind of experience. And having said that, I said, I was, again, there's much more to talk about, obviously, even in terms of Pasei Biros, but I wanted to just point out again that a lot of the discussions of Suras HaPasach are very parallel to this, in terms of Bekiyas Rabim, number one, and as I noted, specifically in terms of the Machlokas between Bali Tosis on the one, Bali Tosis think that Suras HaPasach is treated as a real Mechitza, and you can have four Suras HaPasachs, and, you know, it solves the problems of Bekiyas Rabim, and so on and so forth. And the Rambam, that's what Reb Chaim is discussing in that piece as well. You know, you might even get, you could have thought for the Rambam that Suras HaPasach is not a mechitza at all. But all it is what? Anybody? It's a way of neutralizing pirzos. So what Reb Chaim proves, and is evident from, you know, even within the Rambam very, very clearly, is that that's not true. We don't go that far. We don't say that a Suras HaPasach, you know, only neutralizes the breaches. That isn't true. But, and the way the Rav used to put it, and that's kind of what Reb Chaim is struggling at, a Tzuras HaPesach is, again, so I think that if you don't say that for the Rambam, and it's not really a mechitza, so you could say it's kind of a hekif mokom, but, you know, it can only, you know, be part of the, you know, that effect. But I think more likely, this is the way the Rav used to formulate it, I think this is what Reb Chaim is struggling to say, is that a Tzuras HaPesach is a mechitza, but Torah being a Pesach. And that's also a difference, you know, yisod. It's not just that it's a Pesach and therefore it's not a breach, but it isn't actually a chetz shel mechitza either, which is why you can't have all of them. It's a mechitza, but Torah's being a Pesach. And that's what limits, you can't have a house full of Pesachs, and then none of them are Pesachs. So it's a different kind of a mechitza, but Torah's Pesach, and that surely explains a lot of its characteristics. But in addition to that, I think the other thing you have to add in the Rambam, which we already noted, is that the Rambam's view of Dal Mechitzos, the ability to substitute Korah and Lachi, you know, his view about Pirzos in general and Suras HaPasach, highlight the fact that sometimes, at least, the Rambam is not operating piecemeal with the ingredients, you know, the quantitative amount of ingredients that make a Rishus HaYachid. He really is dealing with the totality of the experience or the effect of a Rishus HaYachid. You know, which is why he's able to, like, mix and match a little more, seemingly mix and match, you know, what you can have and what you, you know, can get away with, you know, for the overall effect. Whereas if you were to zero in on each piece, you know, it just wouldn't, it wouldn't be consistent. That, I think, is consistent, you know, with the Rambam's general view about Rishus HaYachid. and some of the other things that we've seen as well. Okay, so we're going to stop here. Again, I'm sorry that a lot of mixed signals in the June shiur, but at least we got some Rosh Hashayachid in. There's a lot more to talk about in terms of Karbalis and Bakum Patur and Rosh Hashayachid, especially what's really interesting to do, which I'd love to do, I just don't have time right now to do it, in addition to each of the topics more, obviously, it's Rosh Hashayachid and Pasei Biros and all of these things. But a really interesting, good thing to do in some of the debates of Eruvin over the generations, like we're at the cusp of it. So, it's the Chassam Sofer and the Avnei Nezer, especially the Mishnas Yaakov and the Beis Ephraim. Some of the Gedolei Achronim, who fought out, these big battles about, large cities and Erevin. So a lot of these issues, Bekitza Shein and Nikeres, Bekias Rabim, they really, the Beis Ephraim is a great example. A lot of people quote this, famous view of the Beis Ephraim. He's really one who says that, if you use Tzuros HaPesachs, you care less about Bekias Rabim because you're not really presuming to begin with, to create a physical barrier, and therefore you're not weakened by the porousness of it. So that's a great, part of these discussions really bring out in a very acute way some, the characteristics of the Rishuyos as we've discussed them. They don't always say it this way, but beneath the surface, if not on the surface. What's a rishus? What's a non-rishus? What's a hybrid rishus? When nikar, when not? We talked a little about it in terms of rishus harabim. Some of the issues. The Aruch HaShulchan and the Chazonish. Some of the wild things that get said to justify, that are insightful in terms of what a rishus harabim is. If there are too many rishus harabims, there's no rishus harabim. The fulash. What's a highway? Access. So a really good thing to do in terms of what we haven't done is, to try to also add that, the halacha lemaisa part of it, but also just the discussions that are part of the halacha lemaisa part. They really, it wouldn't take so much to do that and to, fill in the picture, frankly, based on what we have done. And then, of course, in terms of Hotzah generally, we've mostly done the topics, but a few other little things in Hazorik and in Avatsnia, to add as well. Otherwise, I hope everybody's enjoyed the limud. I know I have. There's never enough time. That's the only problem with it. But, try to see if we can, find some opportunities to speak more about some of these topics. So thank you all very much. Ish Eris HaPleita was, left, but it's that's a special thing, too, to be part of that group. And I wish everybody a good summer, and we'll see everybody around next year one way or another, right? Everybody in the room, right? Apparently it's the third parak. Is that really true?
That's what I've heard. Yeah. Yeah. Was the first.
Yeah. So I had thought all year it was the first. I'm not quite sure why I thought that. Well, it makes more sense, really. But the third parak is a very nice parak. So there's a lot of...
Can you shoot?
What?
You
can
finish up some
Shabbos. Oh yeah, Lamed Aleph, right? Yeah. So, but there's a lot of it starts off with Los Eschatein, and that's an interesting, and Geirus a little bit, Givonim, and the and of course there's a lot of Kamal Drava Mineg, and that becomes a mechanism to see other things. So a little bit of Meruba overlap, Knossos. It's a very nice parak. We'll see. I'm going to actually try. I've said this in the past. It doesn't always work this way. Try to go a little maybe more quickly in that, and then see if we can maybe still do some of the first parak stuff, because that's also very... first parak is just amazing. It changes every daf, but it's much more shas, basically, oriented. Third parak has very, very important topics that you can get your teeth into, but it is more narrow, in terms of the topic. So I don't envision spending all year on a third parak, to be honest. But my track record isn't so good. So. I'm going to try to move more quickly, but in that, so we can do other things. Second parak, of course, is also amazing. That's, I think Eliot's the only one still around from the Shtaris days.
Yeah.
Right?
Basic and circular.
What?
Basic and circular.
Exactly.
Zuya versus
exactly. So the second parak is all, is really just an incredible parak too. So it's all of Ksuvus is amazing. So look forward to seeing whoever will be around, and whoever will be in the shir, we look forward to seeing you also. Okay. So what time is the mincha, the first mincha? 4:20 you said?
4:20.